in the slave manuals, it says, and Julius Caesar wrote in some of his annals back to the, when he was exiled, you know, to fight the Germans, but finally beat them when nobody else could for 300 years. So he became this big hero. They'd roll in and they'd say, you know, to a fortress, it was usually wooden fortresses, to the Germans, all right, you got a week to give up and to give us all this tribute of cattle and horses, and a bunch of your men got to go join our legion, and you got to give us this tribute, or in a week or two, they give them a number, we're going to burn everything down, we're going to kill every man down to age 11, and we're going to ship all your women and children off as slaves to Rome. They just show up, and they say, you got a week, you got two, you know, it would vary, you got a month, and then we're going to burn everything down, and we're going to kill everybody. And then they would get all the women together. They had all their interpreters, and they'd say, listen, some of you are going to be kept here to raise crops and work for us, for our legions, and some of you are going to work in our brothel and be our whores, and we're going to decide which women serve us better, who's going to be in charge, and if any of you give us any lip, we're just going to start killing your little boys. So out of love, the white house slaves would be the biggest oppressor, and they figured out the psychology, and the Romans had it all down. And that's the same thing. So feminism, that's what it is. It's the house slave. Every major corporation of the Fortune 100 and almost every major government and the big think tanks and the tax-free foundations are robber barons. And by the 1880s, they developed out of the theory of eugenics from the 1850s, the modern update on it, it came from Plato and the Greeks, of social Darwinism, meaning no matter how evil, how destructive, how horrible you are to the general public, you are the apex predator as the globalist, as the robber barons, as the British Empire, as Cecil Rhodes, as J.P. Morgan, as Lord Rothschild. Anyone you can steal, dominate, manipulate, poison, kill, enslave, deserves it, and you're doing a positive thing for society. It's a twist on that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. But then they sell it through a lovey, squishy, liberal NPR voice NPR of, oh, be nice, be friendly, oh, women need to vote, oh.
Two of the co-founders of Ms. Gloria Steinem and Pat Carbine were guest speakers at this luncheon this afternoon, and they're both with me now on Fresh Air.
No. Now they're wedded to the state and the system, and they're the new bosses, just like the Romans did.
Gloria Steinem said, if you don't go out to work, you betray the movement of feminism. You betray the women's rights movement. Babies will be fine. Don't worry about them. Put them into daycare. Give them to a babysitter. You need to go out to work. You need to be soldiers in this war that we're waging. And women just soaked it up. Meanwhile, Gloria Steinem never had children. So she could say that. That message was very destructive.
So they sell the tyranny as liberal and loving, but all of it is to undermine and control. You see movies like Django Unchained and stuff, and, you know, it's a black guy in the house, and he is the biggest racist and all that. And that idea of Uncle Tom, it wasn't Uncle Tom's, folks. I'm not putting down black women. On record, it was black women in charge. That's called being a house slave. Now, where'd they get that? You think that was invented by the colonies? No. All over the world, including Africa, where they still have slavery, it was the same institution.
In Libya, hundreds of emigrants along North Africa migrants' routes are being bought and sold in an open slave market. So listen carefully. Slavery is not dead. It is very much alive.
You'd go capture and take over a tribe. You'd kill the men, keep some of the boys, and then the women would go under Stockholm Syndrome, almost all of them, and would be your best servants, and you'd create them as the subclass, but the bosses over the others. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So you can talk to a feminist. You can talk to all these brainwashed people, and they feel like they're part of the power structure, and they're in the system. This system is designed to make you stupid and alone and enslaved and finally dead. Just don't look at me because I'm white and tell me I'm some like superstar slave master. In fact, you know, the only place in the world, now that they've studied all the cultures, where they didn't have slavery was Western Europe. Africa had slavery. Asia had slavery. Mesoamerica was based on slavery, and they sacrificed the slaves. What you've been taught about white people is absolute horseshit from one end to another.
Hey, Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
It's Wednesday, August 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's count.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. We've got a lot to cover today, some follow-ups to the stories we were covering yesterday, as well as some new breaking news, some pretty interesting statements out of the White House. So we're going to try to focus a little bit more on domestic issues today. But, of course, Europe in the general mood is the same as yesterday. We'll take your calls as well, but let's begin today, as you do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 27th of August, 2025. Minnesota mom Shiloh Hendricks may be criminally charged over a viral playground racial incident. This is kind of ironic. Yesterday, we were showing the video of the Scottish girl wielding the knife and axe, and I couldn't help but notice similarities between Shiloh Hendricks. So we were talking about Shiloh Hendricks a lot yesterday on American Journal, and then basically as soon as the show ended, it was announced that, in fact, Shiloh Hendricks would be charged with three counts of disorderly conduct for her saying the no-no word on a playground. Shiloh Hendricks, a Minnesota mother who was seen in a viral TikTok video in April being confronted by a man after an alleged confrontation with another child. She may face criminal charges. In the wake of the video, Hendricks was doxxed and a fundraiser was launched on her behalf. The city of Rochester, Minnesota announced on Tuesday morning that the Rochester City Attorney's Office is filing a complaint summons in connection with the incident. The draft complaint, which is subject to review and approval by a district court judge, charges Hendricks with 3 counts of disorderly conduct. The charges are misdemeanor level ones and carry a maximum sentence of 90 days in jail and or a $1,000 fine. But I wonder if that's each or in total. That could mean, you know, nearly a year in prison if it's 90 days in jail for all 3 counts. But she should obviously be fighting this. I think she should launch another GoFundMe. I think she could probably make another $1 million to fight this charge, because this is, I mean, they can call it whatever they want. Obviously, they're trying to hit her with a speech law. That's what this is. She used a word they don't like her use. She expressed an idea they don't want expressed, and so they're charging her with disorderly conduct. Now, her conduct wasn't disorderly at all. In fact, she didn't start the confrontation. The man approached her and demanded she said something, and so then she said it. She wasn't starting a fight. She wasn't stealing from other people. Quite the opposite, in fact. She wasn't acting disorderly at all. So that's just the label they're putting on what is in reality, and obviously a speech crime, a hate crime in which nobody was hurt, but somebody was offended. So if you have, you know, we can say we have the First Amendment, we can say we have protections against being charged for our speech, but if they just charge speech crimes as disorderly conduct, if they're just charging speech crimes as violence, that means we don't have free speech. So this really should not be allowed, cannot be allowed, and I would hope that she fights it and is able to prevent it from happening in the first place. But if it does happen, I would think that appealing it to a higher court, they would have to understand that this is, there's no standard to this. She was not disorderly. She was not starting a fight. She was not throwing things or yelling things or being obnoxious. She was speaking in a regular voice and used a word that people don't like her using. So that's what the crime is. So again, kind of disturbing knowing that since April, we've all moved on from this and kind of ignored it, but that there are NGOs and charities and governmental figures, you know, working feverishly trying to, you know, fit some sort of charge that will stick because they've got to teach her a lesson, right? Got to teach all of us a lesson that you bow, you genuflect to the, you know, foreign pedophile shoving a camera in your face. So let's not learn that lesson. Let's instead learn the lesson that you become a millionaire by standing up against this stuff. Meanwhile, a victory here. Cracker Barrel caves to public pressure and Trump switches back to beloved old-timer logo. This has been quite the saga. Cracker Barrel caved to public pressure and will switch its logo back to the beloved old-timer. Last week, Julie Fess Masino, the woke Cracker Barrel CEO, sparked a major backlash after changing the company's beloved logo. She claimed the public just loved the new Cracker Barrel logo and redesign of the restaurant. The new interior of Cracker Barrel looks cold and sterile, not like the original comfy and cozy vibe. Honestly, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, Masino said on Good Morning America last week. Yeah, that didn't last too long. It's been pretty amazing to watch this saga unfold. Basically, they wanted to change Cracker Barrel, not just to update it for a modern audience, but like they always do, just completely deracinate, bastardize, right? Strip it of its character and soul and make it, you know, more like the, you know, soulless, plastic, global, homogenized sort of Web 3 version of design and decoration. That's how I always see it. It's like everything went from being just a little bit kitsch, a little bit fun, to like very stripped down, streamlined, soulless, characterless, nationless, just an empty husk. And so there was a lot of backlash, as there always is when companies do this sort of thing. And first they pursued the original, the sort of typical tack that companies like this take, which is to say, actually, everybody loves it. And we're sticking to it, and we understand there's a vocal minority that we don't care about and are going to ignore. Yeah, this was an interesting post. So all these McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Cracker Barrel, Taco Bell, they used to have like these distinct designs, and now they're all very, again, homogenized. They all look like the same, you know, apartment buildings that are being built by the hundreds of thousands to house somebody. They got to be housing somebody. I mean, our birth rate is in the negative, but for some reason we have to continually at every day be building tens of thousands of the same apartment building that look just like McDonald's and Taco Bell for some reason. Why this is the design choice of our masters is, well, open for speculation, I guess you could say. And one of the speculative things about that was the idea that McDonald's, you know, McDonald's, like their primary source of income is as landowners. I don't know if y'all have ever seen these things where it talks about just the sheer amount of real estate that McDonald's owns, because they own the real estate wherever their restaurants are. And so the idea is that if you build a restaurant that looks distinctly like a McDonald's, then it will always look like McDonald's. If you instead build it as just a featureless box, then you can replace it with any other restaurant right away. So it makes it easier to flip, easier to sell, easier to, you know, make value out of that real estate when it doesn't look like a McDonald's. I thought that was an interesting, some interesting speculation. So Cracker Barrel totally messes up, completely, you know, strips down its logo and doesn't make it any better, doesn't make it any cooler in any way. It's the same logo just with left character, which I think was the real issue. I think if they'd done the same thing and sort of stripped it down, but also like made it look cool, then maybe you'd have something. But they stuck with the original, with the sort of typical strategy of just closing their ears and saying la, 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 and pretending that everybody loved it, thinking they could just weather the storm and, you know, pay for positive coverage. But it didn't work. It just didn't work. And so now they're having to reverse it because their stock completely tanked. and they were going to go bankrupt if they persisted in trying to, you know, do this redesign. And while this may seem like not that big of a deal, I know, you know, there's the meme going around where it's like, yeah, we haven't gotten the Epstein list and we're still, you know, funding and supporting Israel's genocide. And we haven't gotten peace in Ukraine and deportations are still slugging along at a snail's pace. But hey, at least Cracker Barrel's name is the same, right? At least we got the guy from Cracker Barrel sign. He's still there. It's like, is this worth celebrating? I think it is though. I think it is because I think probably every, yeah, this is the classic image. But we're fighting a multi-front war here, and this is just a different front. It's the cultural front, and this is going to make a massive impact. Do you have any idea how incredibly embarrassing this entire saga has been? I mean, Cracker Barrel almost went away. And as a CEO, you really don't want a single decision that you made to tank an entire beloved, long-lasting company. Like, they're going to be thinking about this in every corporate office across America today. They're going to be reading stories about Cracker Barrel and seeing it as a warning sign. And I guarantee you right now there are, you know, PR firms that are scrapping entire, you know, tables full of designs. Yeah, I'm sure there's some, you know, classic company who's just hired a PR firm that last week was going, we want it pared down and slick. And sure, there's this kitschiness that people associate, but we're going for a global market here and we really need it to be streamlined. And today they're waking up going, oh crap, what do we can't do that. We're not making that mistake. We're not falling for that trap. We're not going to be the next Cracker Barrel. So what do we do? And they're going to start, you know, trying to pursue design that is a little bit more intricate, a little bit more designed rather than stripped down. And I think we're actually going to see, you know, a reversal of this. And in the same way that the trend for the last decade or so has been to strip down that stuff, we think the Cracker Barrel, yeah, this is America stood up. The average American stood up and saw this as a symbol. Again, I think this is the right way to do it. I think when you look at successful movements or groups over time, you gotta be a little bit extremist. You gotta be a little bit, you know, on edge when it comes to things like symbolism. And like, sure, you could go, look, what, Cracker Barrel. Okay. Maybe at one point it was something legit. Like apparently I was reading up on it yesterday. You know, the people that started Cracker Barrel just went to an antique store down the road and was like, hey, do you want to help us decorate? And the guy was like, yeah, sure. And just brought over a bunch of antiques to decorate the first shop. And it was such a hit that that guy then just became the, you know, director for Cracker Barrel. And now it's this multi-billion dollar company. And maybe at one point, you know, people had genuine loyalty to it. But then, you know, stripped and taken down. And I can see people making the argument. It's just like, who cares? It's a corporate entity. Oh my God, they changed the McDonald's sign, right? Like, what? Is this really, you know, what worth fighting over? Is this a cultural touchstone that matters at all? And the answer is, yes, it does. Yeah, there's something, homey and old fashioned about Cracker Barrel as an entity, as a throwback, as something even in a sort of kitsch and, you know, inauthentic way is still hearkening back to our heritage and our culture and just who we are as Americans. And so you don't let them take that away and you actually fight for it. And sure, you can roll your eyes and go, wow, but whatever. But then you do that over and over and over and over again, every instance that something that your country, your people love, gets just a little bit less authentic, a little bit less legitimate, a little bit less like it was when you liked it. Then you look around, you're like, well, I don't even recognize my country anymore. Like, what even is this? So yeah, I mean, America right now is suffering under death by a thousand cuts, and this is just one of those cuts. So yeah, we still have 999 cuts bleeding us out, but we at least prevented this one. And it's worth standing up against. And again, I think I would love to see, I'd love to have a hidden camera, should be a fly on the wall of, PR firms around the country today whose entire, you know, trajectory has been towards the stripping down and, you know, decharacterizing all of their stuff. And they're all going to be reversing that, which is good. Everything sucks now. All the design sucks now. And I'm glad to see it's reversed. Jaguar just went through the same thing. This is kind of a, like, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson? We'll see. We'll see if they actually learn it. Meanwhile, DNI Tulsi Gabbard uncovers burn bags of documents tied to 2020 election corruption hidden from American public. President Donald Trump announced that current Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has uncovered bags of hidden documents related to corruption in the 2020 election. Trump, speaking in front of his administration as they continue a historic federal crime crackdown in Washington, D.C. and push for peace negotiations in the Russia-Ukraine war, directly addressed the bombshell findings. According to a statement by President Trump, these files contain massive evidence of wrongdoing and will soon be made public. And we'll get back to that in just a second because we have the video of the meeting yesterday where Tulsi Gabbard talked about this. Meanwhile, Trump makes good on threat to impose 50% tariffs on India imports, rather. President Donald Trump made good on his threat to double tariffs on imports from India to 50%, a move that could endanger relations with one of America's most important trading partners and send consumer prices higher. This comes just weeks after Trump instituted a new 25% baseline tariff on Indian goods, levies on India, the world's fifth largest economy, are now among the highest the United States charges across all countries. The latest round of tariffs on India seeks to punish the country for importing Russian oil and helping Russia finance its war with Ukraine, Trump had previously said. And hey, if it hurts India, I'm for it. I don't need to know the reason. Just feels like we're all just giving our country's way to India. Let's not do that. Meanwhile, Musk vows to fund legal actions against corrupt officials who aided and abetted rape of Britain after inquiry finds scores of Pakistani rape gangs. Billionaire businessman's pledge comes as inquiry declares hundreds of thousands of lives have been ruined at the hands of predominantly Pakistani rape gangs. Billionaire tech entrepreneur Elon Musk vowed to finance lawsuits against politicians who've allowed Great Britain to be overrun by third world migrants after an investigation found widespread exploitation of children by Pakistani rape gangs throughout the UK. Quote, I would like to help fund legal actions against corrupt officials that aided and abetted the rape of Britain per the official government inquiry, Musk pledged on X Tuesday, responding to UK MP Rupert Lowe's announcement of the result of the rape gang inquiry, which discovered rape gangs operated in at least 85 areas in the UK. And we can get into this more. We talked about it all yesterday. And actually, Elon Musk responded to the video that was put out on Alex Jones's account at Real Alex Jones on X of myself hosting the third hour and talking about the rape gangs. And Elon responded to that asking, is anybody helping to prosecute this? Have those who did this been prosecuted? The answer is absolutely not. The problem that you'll find is that they are the people who would do the prosecuting. So the people you're talking about right now, Elon Musk, one in particular would be Keir Starmer, current Prime Minister of the UK. He was the head of the cover-up of the pedophile rape gangs. So, tells you who runs the UK. This was his reward. See, he served the pedophile cabal that runs the world, and then they rewarded him with a Prime Ministership. So, that's who you're talking about going after. And understand, if a government is headed by somebody whose career was made by covering up pedophile attacks, it should give you the signal, it should send the message that he's not the only one, that the whole government is replete with these people who did it on purpose and are doing it on purpose to this day and at this moment. So now would be a great time for Elon Musk to maybe hold another space, have Alex Jones on, maybe get Trump on. Hell, maybe see if you can get Keir Starmer to hop on and ask him about it, because he knows more about it than anything else. He was the head honcho. He was the wig-wearing, robe-wearing judge who presided over a lot of these cases that allowed all of these men to completely get away with it. He's also the one that's currently putting in all of the speech laws to stop the regular British people from standing up against it. If you want to go after the people who have destroyed Britain, it's the same people that brought the Pakistanis in, that covered up the rape gang inquiries, that made it known that this would be considered racist or Islamophobic and therefore, you know, not allowed, and are now instituting speech laws to stop the average person from speaking out against it, up to and including the fact, and it's happened multiple times, where the leaders of rape gangs convicted in UK court spend less time in prison than people tweeting about it. Literally. So, again, I think just if you take one thing away from InfoWars, if there's one, this is our golden rule, right? Jesus Christ came and he said, if there's one thing you need to understand, it's treat others as you like to be treated. If there's one thing you can take away from InfoWars, these people are evil. It's on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. It's not causing suffering for the greater good. It's just evil. It's on purpose. It's by design. All of the bad things happening are happening on purpose because the people in charge want them to happen. Just really take that in, understand that, because Alex talked about this yesterday. I talked about this yesterday on Alex's show, because Donald Trump will give statements where he goes, the people who came here before us, the Biden administration, the Democrats, they're so incompetent. The people making deals for America in the past were so incompetent. They just messed up. They were so stupid. Like, that is absurd. You're telling me that America, the greatest country in the history of the world, was being run by people that were just stupid and incompetent and couldn't tell that the same thing kept happening over and over? They kept selling out the American people. Everything kept getting worse, and they kept doing it because they were dumb. Do you really think that that's the case? You really think that the people at the top of these incredibly complicated, sophisticated systems are incompetent? They're not incompetent. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose, and they could stop it at any time. They could have stopped it decades ago. They could stop it today. They're not stopping it today. That should hint to you that it's not an accident. There are today, yesterday, there was an article published with all of these professional photographs trying to, you know, get sympathy for the people that are to this day and at this moment crossing the English Channel on dinghies. They're still coming. They're still being supported by the media. They're still, you know, being allowed to stay here. They're still paying the rent or paying the fees for the migrant hotels dotted throughout the country. Where has there ever been evidence that this is not something that they want? But have they ever done anything to even address the consequences of these policies, let alone reverse them and, you know, make them not happen anymore? So understand, people doing this are doing it on purpose. They're doing it by design. What they're doing, they didn't come up with. They are carrying the torch and continuing the operations that have been in place since at least the late 1800s. And I'm going to show you a video on the other side that puts some of this in perspective. But I want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Support everything that we do here. This is the last day for that big old sale we were talking about yesterday, and we sold out of knives yesterday. We sold a bunch of knives yesterday. So I hope that all the people out there never have to use them, but can be comfortable knowing if they need to, they've got the self-protection that can keep them safe. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more, the natokinase and the serapeptase. Those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top-selling products, all the studies, and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. We've got some breaking news here. President Trump just put out a statement on Truth Social, practically designed to make us happy, make me happy. He says George Soros and his wonderful radical left son should be charged with RICO because of their support of violent protest and much more all throughout the United States of America. We're not going to allow these lunatics to rip apart America anymore, never giving it so much as a chance to breathe and be free. Soros and his group of psychopaths have caused great damage to our country. And that includes the crazy West Coast friends, his crazy West Coast friends. Be careful. We're watching you. Thank you for your attention in this matter. Be careful, we're watching you. So, that's good. That's cool. That's cool. I'd like to see that. We'd love to see that. Now, he's got two sons. Remember, he's got two sons. It's Alexander Soros that's, you know, picked up the baton. And is sort of the most hilarious, like, complete betrayal of all of the values they're supposed to hold has, of course, in nepotistic style, assumed the mantle from his father without actually earning it. Because these people actually don't believe anything and they actually run dynasties where they hand off power to their children like they're nobles, like they're some sort of nobility instead of just, you know, corporate hatchet men and international spies. Again, just, you know, blatantly violating all of the things they claim to believe in terms of meritocracy and, you know, freedom and self-sufficiency. They don't actually believe any of that stuff. They operate all of their programs like, well, a subversive nobility. That's Alexander Soros, son of Alex Soros. His other son, John, I think it's John, right? Jonathan Soros. He's the one who was behind the 2012 riots in Baltimore, Freddie Gray, and the Antifa documents that we've shown really incontrovertibly prove that the chaos caused by Black Lives Matter and the violent riots were well orchestrated and organized and brought about on purpose by these very well-funded organizations. So they should be charged with RICO. They should already be charged with RICO. So very, very nice words out of Trump. Let's see action to back it up. Let's see it actually take place. Let's stop talking about charging these people, going after these people, uncovering evidence of their crimes. Let's do something about it. Anything, just anything. Do it. Do something. For the love of God, do something. Maybe something's happening. Maybe they're, you know, impaneling grand juries. Okay. Then I can't wait. Then I can't wait to actually be excited about something actually happening. Because so far, nothing has happened. So, Trump says Soros and his son should be charged with RICO. Yeah, they should be. Great point, Trump. Gosh, if only there was somebody in a position of power to do that. No, you're right. Somebody really should. Who should we tell? Who needs to know this, Trump? Who are you telling? We're perfectly aware that they should be charged with RICO. Thank you. Charge them with RICO now, please. I mean, I really want to be cheering for Trump, but it's just like, dude, why are you telling us? You are the one. Deploy National Guard to Chicago. Trump says he has the right to do anything I want to do. All right, well, you should do it. You should just do something. Do it. Do it. Just do it. For the love of God, just do it. Stop talking about it. It's almost, I mean, we should have a counter or something. The number of things that we've heard since Trump got into office that are so close to being something. We're just on the cusp of something. But we're still firmly in the realm of nothing. So, come on, guys. Come. It's like, how many times? I mean, the Epstein saga alone. Like a dozen of these things. We're about to reach the files. We're about to... We're searching through them right now. We're going to be arresting more people. We're going to be, revealing the grand jury testimony. It's just... Where is it? Where's any of it? Well, I got stories today about Tulsi Gabbard. They discovered burn bags full of documents related to the 2020 election, just like apparently they found burn bags in the FBI related to Russia collusion. And none of these people have even been arrested. So what are we doing? How many times do we have to hear, we just found a ton of evidence, you wait. 3 months later, we're still waiting. Oh, don't worry, the charges are coming. Well, okay, once they're here, you let us know. You let us know once something actually happens. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. And it's just weird because it's like in any other instance, if this was 10 years ago, if Donald Trump in 2017 was putting out posts saying George Soros should be charged with RICO, we'd be throwing our hats in the air. We'd be celebrating. We'd be, this is it. It's all happening. Now I see this and I'm just like, well, Trump, we know this. Who are you telling this? Is what I want to know. He's acting like he's not the president of the United States, but he is the president. He is the one that can do this. Who are you telling, Trump? You know, Russia just kicked Soros out. We can kick Soros out. Soros is not an American. Soros grew up and became an adult, never having even set foot in America. He's a Nazi collaborator, too, in Hungary. Then he was in the UK, where he crashed the pound and made millions of dollars. And then he just decided to start meddling in American culture and politics, and we just let him for some reason? This creepy, literal Nazi. And we always, yeah, happy making place. Yeah, no regrets. But yeah, I should qualify that. Unrepentant Nazi collaborator. He doesn't even act like it was a sad thing that he did. No, like, aren't you, didn't you participate? Like loading Jews onto train cars to head east, never to return? He's like, yeah, I did. It was awesome. It was the best time of my life, in fact. Okay. You should be in jail. I think you should be in jail. And tell you what, if I was president, you would be. I'm not. Trump is. And he's telling us all you're a criminal. So, are we supposed to do something? Is this up to us? We could. We can. I mean, got an address. It's a yacht in the Mediterranean. You know, all these guys literally live on yachts. Do you understand how villainous these people really are? The world, more or less, is run by old Jewish billionaires that literally live on yachts like Lashif from Casino Royale with 20-year-old mistresses. They don't have homes. I mean, they have a billion homes. They own all the castles in Europe. They have a lot of homes. They're not their homes, though. They're just places for their yacht to dock for a little while. And places for them to store their millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of artwork. Ill-gotten gains. So, where's James Bond is what I'm asking. George Soros and his wonderful radical left son should be charged with RICO because of their support of violent protests and much more all throughout the United States of America. We're not going to allow these lunatics to rip apart America anymore, never giving it so much of a chance to, quote, all caps, breathe and be free. Why is breathe in all caps and in parentheses? Is it me or is it Trump? That's, I think, the only answer I need at this point. Is it me or is it Trump? Because my perspective is Trump's kind of going crazy. I think he might be a little bit crazy. He's always had some interesting proclivities when it came to the way he phrased things. But why is breathe in all caps with quotes? I don't understand that. Is it a QAnon thing? What does QAnon say about breathing? Do I need to go crazy to understand this? So, be careful. We're watching you. Thank you for your attention to this matter. It's great. You love to see it. Love to see something actually happen more. I'd more prefer to see something actually happen, but, you know, talking about it's good too, I guess. I don't know, man. It's just, even, okay, so he's like, George Soros should be charged with RICO. His crazy son, they're destroying America. They shouldn't be allowed to. We're watching you. We're watching you? What do you mean we're watching you? They've already done it. They already did the stuff. They already started the riots. They already, you know, bribed the politicians. They already got the DAs to let the criminals out on the streets. They're already the central node of the entire scandal that has disrupted the Trump presidency from the beginning. You can't investigate the Donald Trump, Russiagate, Hillary Clinton saga without constantly tripping over the Open Society Foundation. What are you watching exactly? If they do it again, they might do it again, and so the next time you'll catch them? Just these little hints, these little things. that sort of show that the rest of it's not very serious. They should be charged with RICO. So we'll be watching them. Okay. So then you can just delete everything up to, you know, be careful, we're watching you, thank you for your attention in this matter, because you're the one who would charge them with the RICO case. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Again, it's not even, I guess maybe we should go back and look at maybe like, you know, what was the coverage like? What were the statements being made by Rudy Giuliani before he dismantled the mafia in New York City? Remember the first RICO case, the first big RICO case, the reason RICO was created was to go after mobsters by charging the heads of the crime syndicates with the crimes committed by the people on the lower rungs. And it was a novel legal theory, and Rudy Giuliani headed it, and he took down the most powerful mafia in the world, the New York Mafia. So it would actually be in character and in line with his reputation as a historical figure to take down the mafia that's currently destroying America, a kingpin of which is George Soros and his sons. So we've got, like, you've got the talent there. You've got people who've done this before against literal mafias, like Godfather, casino-style mafia figures. So they need to do that again, but I don't know. I can't imagine that Rudy Giuliani, before ever laying a charge, was out there telling people, you know, these guys really should be charged with RICO. I just want to make a public statement saying somebody should charge these guys with RICO. Like, no, you just do it. You just file the charges. So anyway, I just can't. Can't be excited. It's such a bummer, too. It's like going to see the new Star Wars movie. Like, I should love this. I love Star Wars. I love Trump. I love the idea of going after George Soros. So why does it feel so empty? I would be less disappointed if Trump didn't portray himself as, you know, being our vengeance before this. The expectation was so high, and here he is, you know, putting out Truth Socials. Great. Great. George Soros should be charged with RICO. Who should we tell, Trump? Who should we let know about this? Is there somebody else? Yeah, the Soros family is psychopathic and just are nothing but a drain on the Western world, and yet they're allowed to operate with impunity. We got a lot of crime stories to cover. We got some immigration stories to cover. Savannah Hernandez on the streets of New York City. I think just continuing our coverage from yesterday and the genocide taking place in Europe, I think it's worth it. I think it's now time to visit clip number 7, the Caligari plan. Caligari? The genocide plan for Europeans. And it's a pretty inflammatory video, fair warning. It, you know, phrases things in a little bit of an offensive way. But you hear people talk about this all the time. And it's one of these situations where if you search Google for it, the first thing you find is, and I get the quote for you, is the Caligari plan is an anti-Semitic white supremacist conspiracy theory. That is verbatim the first sentence that pops up if you search this, which made me wonder if it really was. A debunked far-right, anti-Semitic, white genocide conspiracy theory. But also it's absolutely true. So there's that. Debunked far-right, anti-Semitic. Like the number of words that come before conspiracy theory, like levels of legitimacy that you're adding. So let's go to clip number 7 here. This is a little quick and very offensive overview of the Caligari plan. Let's watch.
It's very clear that the Jews want to exterminate the European race. Richard Coudenhove Caligari, who is the father of the European Union and who was funded by the Jewish bankers Rothschild and Warburg. Now, this man wrote a book called Praktischer Idealismus in 1925, in which he stated that the Jews are a master race and that the Jews can only assume the throne of rule over the world by weakening the European race, and that the means to weakening the European race would be to dissolve all the European nations, destroy all their cultural heritage and their national traditions, and replace that with the European Union, and then to invite in Africans, Middle Easterners, and Asians to dilute the blood of Europeans through miscegenation to the point where they became a degenerate mixed race. And then at that point, these people would no longer have any sense of nationhood, and the ancient Jewish messianic prophecies of world rule out of Jerusalem, with Jews maintaining their nationhood and their national status, it would fulfill the Jewish messianic prophecies that the Jews could then rule the world. And this was completely in line with what Nicolai had written in 1917 and has manifested itself recently with the invasion of immigrants from Africa, from the Middle East, and from Asia into Europe, America, and Australia. And they are deliberately setting about to genocide the white race and destroy all sense of nationhood and of national heritage and national culture in each of our nations.
So that is the Coudenhove Clergy conspiracy, the debunked far-right anti-Semitic white genocide conspiracy theory. That is, in fact, playing out in real time and to the observation of everybody caring to look. And this is one of those things where it's like, okay, is this what's happening? I mean, it is what's happening. In effect, that is what's going on. Is it really, does it really date back to Kalergi? Is this, you know, a century-long operation being carried out? Well, that's an anti-Semitic white genocide conspiracy theory, but they can't really claim that it's not happening, because it is. And they can't really claim that this wasn't written in the guy's book, because it was. They can't really pretend like he was a nobody who's just spouting things that nobody cared about, because he's the founder of the EU. So what do we do with all of this information? How do we parse this? What Wikipedia says is the Kalergi plan, sometimes called the Coudenhove-Kalergi conspiracy, is a debunked far-right anti-Semitic white genocide conspiracy theory. Should we edit this? Do we need to edit this now? Wikipedia, who of course we played the video the other day where the ADL head Jonathan Greenblatt is talking about TikTok, and he says, look, we have Wikipedia locked down, and that's a good thing, but we've got these other, so remember, according to the ADL and according to Israel, Wikipedia is like their outlet for propaganda. So we can erase some of these words that are simply there to discredit the concept. The Kalergi plan is a, well, it's not debunked. I wouldn't call it far right. I wouldn't call it anti-Semitic either. White genocide, I mean, it's just in there to make it sound bad. We can just erase that. So what we're left with is the Kalergi plan is a theory. The Kalergi plan is a theory. The theory claims that Austrian-Japanese politician Richard von Coudenhove Kalergi, creator of the Pan-European Union, concocted a plot to mix and replace white Europeans with other races via immigration. Well, you'd think you would see that. I mean, you'd think if that was the case, then there would be evidence somewhere. So show me that. The conspiracy theory is most often associated with European groups and parties, but is also spread to North American politics. It wasn't strictly a Jewish thing either. It was supposed to be the nobles, you know, it was the nobility and the Jews in Europe sort of being the cultural national leaders, and then the banking interests. They were going to work hand in hand together. I guess you could call that conspiring. But I wouldn't do that. The conspiracy theory stems from the section of Kalergi's 1925 book, Praktischer Idealismus, Practical Idealism, in which he predicted that a mixed race of the future would arise, The man of the future will be of mixed race. Today's races and classes will gradually disappear owing to the vanishing of space-time and prejudice. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future, similar in its appearance to the ancient Egyptians, will replace the diversity of peoples with the diversity of individuals. Modern far-right individuals seek to draw relations between the relationships between the contemporary European policymaking and this quote. Well, I can't help but notice that the political organization that Kalergi himself is credited as being the father of, the European Union, has made this exact timeline the priority of its operation since its creation. So there is that. And again, if this was just some guy just saying something, that would be one thing. But then, funnily enough, ChathamHouse.org. Now, if you're not familiar with Chatham House, it's most often invoked with Chatham House rules. And these are rules that were created in this organization in England. And it's the rules that basically say you're not allowed to record anything. You're not allowed to quote anybody at a meeting. So Bilderberg Group, the Davos meetings, they are operate under Chatham House rules, which is why all the leadership can go there and say all this stuff, because they've all made an agreement, made a pledge, essentially signed an oath to not report what's said about it. And there's other rules too, other aspects of it. When Tim Pool met with Benjamin Netanyahu, he was asked about it and they said, why didn't you bring this up? And he said, well, I agreed that we'd be meeting under Chatham House rules. So these are still rules that are invoked in just like meetings with politicians, but also in organizations like Bilderberg and Davos. So if you go to ChathamHouse.org, the headquarters of this, you know, organization that came about with these rules, they have an article from 2023, The EU's Forgotten Grandfather, Richard Codenhove. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. Codenhove Kalergi. Comparisons are frequently made between the world today and that of a century ago, but while the forces that resulted in the Second World War are brewing, some were aiming to foster international peace and security. In the turbulent period following the First World War, the young Count Richard Codenhove Kalergi founded the Pan-European Union, offering a vision of peaceful, democratic unity for Europe, with no borders, a common currency, and a single passport. His political congresses in Vienna, Berlin, and Basel attracted thousands from the intelligentsia and the cultural elite, including Albert Einstein, Thomas Mann, and Sigmund Freud, who wanted a United States of Europe brought together by consent. The Count's commitment to this ideal infuriated Adolf Hitler, who referred to him as cosmopolitan bastard in Mein Kampf. Remember, I told you earlier, a lot of Hitler's ideas came from Kalergi. Kalergi was the first one to use the term master race to describe the Jews. Hitler read that, got mad, and said, they're not the master race, we are. And he adopted that for himself and adopted a lot of the, you know, communist tactics in his rise to power. It's all intertwined. But it's a racist conspiracy theory. How dare you?
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm really interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power.
What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving you all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USP grade on the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now. And it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll even probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well, so definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, you'll need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
Here, this is Savannah Hernandez. She is in New York City checking out how the migrants are doing there. Here's Savannah Hernandez with TPUSA Frontline News. Let's watch.
This is Savannah Hernandez standing in front of the Bronx Migrant Shelter that was opened 6 months ago to house 2,200 migrant men. Now, I wanted to come to this area because, of course, it has been open now for 6 months, and I wanted to see how the neighborhood was faring. We keep seeing those headlines out of New York stating that migrant shelters are closing, and as of this month, you do have 62 that have been closed so far. But let's not forget that since 2022, you've had 250,000 illegal immigrants come into New York City, and around 200 migrant shelters opened as a direct response. So we're being told that these shelters are closing. Roosevelt Hotel, for example, one of the biggest migrant processing centers, has been closed. However, the reality of this matter is that these migrants are simply being moved into the various boroughs of New York City and the various suburbs. So I came to the area to come and check it out.
Where are you from?
I'm from Senegal.
And are you living in the shelter?
Yes.
How is it?
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah.
It's difficult?
Yeah.
Why is it difficult?
Yeah, because too much people, one flow.
Okay.
Yeah, small bed. You don't eat too much, you know.
Living in the shelter is like, it's not easy, you know, but we don't have choice. Like, it's no good food over there. They're not helping people to find job.
I live in shelter right now.
What's it like living there?
That's my first month to be in shelter. Before, when I was right here, yeah, I was trying to work every day outside, you know. I tried to sell fruit with some people from Mexico, you know. But I lose that job. I can't pay my house anymore, and I come right here.
Had a house before?
Before I was paying.
As an immigrant, you don't have a lot of things to do. But it's okay here. We feel free, we feel comfortable, we feel secure here.
And I heard that some migrants were getting apartments. Do you have any friends who were able to get an apartment?
Yeah, some of us got already apartment. Some people got job quickly, and yeah.
The shelter, not easy.
Yeah. Why isn't it easy in the shelter? What's going on in there?
Because a lot of people is the sick. No, you go in the hospital, a lot of people is not good.
Has it been hard to live here in the U.S.?
Yeah, no, it's better than Africa, but we don't have now job work. That's why my case is closed.
Now, these African migrants who state that they can't work and that's why they're hanging out on the sidewalk are just one angle of this story. The other angle is, of course, the crime that is stemming from the Bronx and bleeding out into various parts of New York City. I've had a lot of local reporters that have been highlighting to me that moped robberies have been a really big issue, not just recently, but over the last couple of years, of course. And to give you guys an idea of what's been happening in the Bronx and surrounding areas over just the past couple of months, this week, for example, an off-duty police officer was involved in a shooting in which an illegal immigrant and his accomplice on a moped rolled up, flashed a gun. This resulted in the NYPD officer opening fire. One of these illegals was fatally shot. Just 15 minutes prior to this incident, however, you had three other gunpoint robberies by two migrants on a moped that had happened in that same vicinity. So, of course, police officials thinking that those suspects were the same people. Now, that's one incident that happened just this week. There's also been a string of course, these moped robberies and these drive-by chain snatchings.
You have a suspect here in the Bronx that has been targeting women and children. He snatched the chain off of a five-year-old. He snatched the necklace off of a pregnant woman very recently. And this is a crime that has been happening quite pervasively throughout the Bronx. And, of course, this is happening as well and has been happening in Manhattan, too. And you had an entire gang of migrants on mopeds that were tied to a string of 62
robberies. All right, folks, that's Savannah Hernandez reporting live from New York, well, reporting on the streets in New York. You can follow her, of course, at Sav_says_ on X, doing great on-the-ground journalism. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side with more about what's going on. Trying to save this country, or are we? We don't know.
I'm coming to defeat you, evil scum. I'll defeat you, globalists. I've been waiting a long time for this, Alex.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I got so many videos to show you today. I'm putting more in by the minute about crime, about our enemies, about Donald Trump. And I actually think I want to... I want to read this post from Native Patriot. Really, we should probably just have him on. In fact, Matt, if you wouldn't mind reaching out to Native Patriot, I'd love to get him on. By the way, we are going to be joined by Mark Lynch, who is running for Senate in South Carolina. He's trying to unseat Lindsey Graham. So we're going to lend him all of the support that we can muster. Try to get Holden Bloodfeast out of office. Maybe I need to have Native Patriot on to talk about this because he is, you know, one of the best Twitter follows you can find, mostly because he doesn't participate much in the back and forth sort of drama on X getting into the controversies. He sort of just has his eye on the prize and just posts like good, wholesome America First content. And so I think this post of his, a little out of character, but I resonate with it extremely, and I think our audience will as well. Native Patriot at La Native Patriot on X says, I had so much hope for this Trump administration. I think I've been hesitant to post as of late because I just see compromise after compromise. I don't see the fiery man who stood up after the failed assassination attempt and yelled, fight, fight, fight. I don't see a revolution taking place. I see slight changes in policy here and there. Maybe I'm crazy, but our country is literally at a breaking point, and Trump was supposed to be the one to bring about monumental change, save the dollar, prosecute the traitors, expose the Epstein clients, and dismantle the letter agencies. I'm tired of being forced to be part of a system that doesn't seek justice, where its top priority is maintaining its control. I'm tired of knowing my tax dollars are directly supporting abortion, drug harm reduction, wars, our ever-growing surveillance, and POS communist judges, politicians that hate our country. We're so separated from God and our goals, the Founding Fathers articulated. I just don't see the pathway to fixing anything with the temporary changes we've made since Trump has been president. I see a band-aid on a gushing wound. I see business as usual with a bit of damage mitigation from the past 4 years. Every day I see the news and just sigh. I see what is financially successful and hate it. It makes me pull away from even wanting to make money. I've dug my head back into work. At least it's effing honest. I hate seeing Bonnie Blue and Andrew Tate just continue to rake in the money and clout with their garbage, disgusting actions and messaging. I know I've inspired some people to do better, but getting into the podcast/news world, seeing what happens behind the scenes makes me feel as if the resistance I thought was there doesn't exist. I just feel like I've lost my place. I won't champion constant compromise. I'm just tired of feeling like I'm compelled to continue supporting the system that will inevitably fail us. We're still on a one-way road to the dollar collapsing. We still don't have enough people making babies. We're still overregulated, oversurveyed, and not capable of surviving as private citizens. Heck, the Nintendo Switch 2 sold out pre-orders within hours, and everybody knows you own nothing on that console, nothing. They can and will shut you out of hardware you bought at any time for any reason. We're diving headfirst into real ID. Of course, there he's talking about, you know, the right to repair and this thing, you know, everything that we're talking about, where everything's moving away from ownership and towards sort of temporary permission slips. You're not going to own a car. You're just going to be able to take Uber. You're not going to own a phone. You're going to rent it from the phone company. You're not going to own any software. It's all going to be leased out to you on a temporary basis. And if they feel like taking it down, then you don't own it anymore. You're not going to own movies. You're not going to own music. You're not going to own physical objects. I mean, all of this is happening at a pace, coordinated, orchestrated, in lockstep with one another. But he continues, it seems like I'm on the losing side of a society that wants to own nothing and be happy. Stuck in the cycle of that, this is just the way it is. Abortion, normal. Promiscuity, normal. Porn, normal. Child grooming at pride events, normal. Pride crap taught at schools, normal. Maybe with my rapid growth, I thought it would continue. I thought I could actually make a giant wave and wake people up. Maybe it's just getting 200 followers in 2 years and then suddenly hitting the wall of 8K in 8 months. That's uninspiring to my motivation. By the way, Native Patriot, if you're listening, that is absolutely 100% algorithmic. I have exactly the same issue. I never, ever, ever gain. I mean, I'm constantly gaining followers and my follower count never goes up. Ever. Unless I have a really big breakout, you know, viral tweet, then I'll get, you know, a couple thousand. But I mean, I don't even look anymore because it's just every day it goes up a couple hundred, then down a couple hundred, up a couple hundred, then down a couple hundred. And it's like, okay, I've been capped. I've obviously been capped. When I go on really big shows and gain no followers, when I have tweets that get, you know, 80,000 likes and no new follows, it's like, okay, what's going on here? You can't have a tweet be seen by 10 million people and nobody follows you. I mean, and this that doesn't happen. There are caps. There are certain caps that you get to a certain point and just doesn't let you break through until you break through, until you get some big, you know, rush of support, and then it goes up a little bit. But that's 100% algorithmic. But I can see how it'd be very defeating, being like, wow, I'm on this trajectory, I'm gaining followers, it's only going to get better and better, and then it just stalls out completely, and you have to, you know, fight and try really hard just to get a couple extra 100 followers. It's very disheartening. But it's not because, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, I wish this didn't exist. I wish there wasn't the algorithmic manipulation that there is, because it really is impossible to know if you're popular or not. Like, I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you if, you know, my follower account is at all reflective of anything. Like, it means nothing. It means nothing. People who are trash have millions of followers. People who are brilliant have a couple hundred. It doesn't mean anything, really. And it would if it was all just pure, if it was all just, hey, if you like something, it gives it to you. And if you don't, it doesn't. If things are popular, they get more popular. If things aren't popular, they aren't shown to people. If it was just very unmanipulated, then you could put a tweet out and go, gee, that tweet didn't do well. It must be a bad tweet. Now a tweet doesn't do well. You don't know. You don't know if it just didn't get seen by the right people, if the algorithm shut it down. It's impossible to know. So it's very frustrating. And just, it's just another instance of our dislocation from reality existing in this world where we can't possibly know what is true and what isn't. The wall where the only posts that make me money are garbage, clickbait, stupid videos that mean nothing and do nothing. Man, I feel that one too. But for me, it's the only tweets that do well are the offensive ones where I'm racist. It's very frustrating. I'll do like very sophisticated tweets where I'm breaking down some like to me mind-blowing thing and just like nobody cares. But then you just like, Jews bad. And it's like, 10 billion likes. People are like, whoa, dude, you're so brave. It's like, God damn. I wish I was more comfortable with pandering. Like if I was spiritually fulfilled by pandering, I would have a million followers by now. But it makes me feel sick to my stomach, so I don't do it. Meanwhile, any positive posts I do get no views, 10 comments and 3 reshares. It is what it is. Maybe my posts have become less inspiring. Maybe they're not selling the importance of the dire situation that we're in. Maybe people have relaxed because Trump won and just thought, well, we did our job. Time to tune out. I don't know. I just don't know. I feel ya, Native Patriot. I'm right there with you. It's extremely frustrating. And again, my whole point is like, we don't have time. We don't have time. You know, they just flipped some Iowa special election, and so we no longer have a supermajority in the Senate. Right? I forgot to print out that story. But I need to see that. By this time next year, we will be coming to the end of midterms. And if Trump, I mean, who has Trump picked up during the last 6 months, 9 months that he's been in office? Like during his campaign, 2024, he was scooping up whole swaths of demographics. RFK was coming over and bringing in the MAHA coalition. Elon Musk was supporting him, bringing in the tech bros. And the whole time, Donald Trump was going farther and farther to the right, more and more intense and aggressive. He never moderated his message during his campaign. He said, "I am your vengeance." He was, you know, playing that up, and he got more and more support. Now, since he became president, I've watched, and I myself am still like barely clinging on, but at this point, it's like, what are we even doing here? But I've watched is just huge chunks of his supporters have just sloughed off and just gone, you know what? This sucks. I can't believe we thought this was going to be any different. We haven't seen nearly any of the results that we expected. Nobody's been arrested from the old administrations. The deportations are happening at a snail's pace. Yeah, he did the pardons and those are good, but even the more important ones weren't actually pardoned. They were just, you know, undoing the sentence. So who has he gained? So he's lost a large chunk of his support. Has anybody made up for that? Has anybody joined up with him? Are we seeing a lot of liberals these days going, you know, for the first time, I've actually seen that Trump is. So he's just lost a bunch of his core support, lost a bunch of his base. I think, I don't know what the surveys are. You can say whatever they want, but just personally and people I talk to and the wide spectrum of people I interact with, people that were super pro-Trump, most of them just don't really care anymore. They're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it just doesn't have the same energy. And then people that are like really see how dire the situation are like pissed and are starting to hate Trump because it's relentless. Because he's constantly betraying his message and what he said during the campaign. So what happens? I mean, what happens in 1 year when Trump has sold out the Republican Party to Israel and all of the young people on the right want nothing to do with that, and all of the young people on the left are radicalized to a point of like committing terrorism? What happens is we lose the House, we lose the Senate, they impeach Trump, and everything grinds to a halt. And if everything grinds to a halt, and they fail again, and the young right-wingers want nothing to do with J.D. Vance or Palantir or Peter Thiel or Israel as a whole, want nothing to do with the GOP or the Republican Party at all, and are basically giving up hope of voting, well, what happens is the Democrats sweep into power and then portray everything Trump did during his administration as a dictatorship and its tyranny, and therefore justifies, you know, insane measures that they'll take regardless of precedent or legality or opposition from the right. So what are we doing here? Setback for Trump's party in Iowa, Democrats with Senate seat to break Republican supermajority. So I just completely share the sentiment that Native Patriot is expressing there and the frustration with the responses to him of people just being genuinely too stupid to understand what he's saying. Truth Revealer 1777, Trump is compromised. Ugh, the notion alone is worth an unfollow. Take care. Bye. Native Patriot's like, I said compromise, not he is compromised, but good luck, dumbass. You can't even read. You don't even know what you're reading. And also, Trump probably is compromised. apparently. I mean, unless you can find another reason for why nothing is happening on any front. And, you know, on that note, Epstein survivors to hold news conference on September 3rd. In August 2025, a claim spread online that survivors of abuse by convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein plan to hold a news conference on September 3rd at 2025. This rumor circulated. This is weird. I don't know why this is a Snopes article. It's just an announcement of a thing that's happening. As of the writing, survivors of abuse by Epstein and his associate Ghislaine Maxwell were in fact planning to hold a news conference on September 3rd as Representatives Thomas Massey, Ro Khanna, these two first announced in August 11th social media post. In these posts, Massey and Khanna said they would speak at the event about their co-sponsored bill to release the so-called Epstein files. So apparently the survivors are holding this press conference with Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna on September 3rd at 10:30 a.m. in the House Triangle, a location outside the U.S. Capitol often used for these sorts of events. Massey's post said several of the survivors will be speaking out for the first time, a detail Edwards also confirmed in an email, which will be good and interesting because we keep hearing that the reason the Epstein files aren't being released is to respect the victims. But wait a second, the victims themselves are the ones demanding the release of the files. So that'll be a little bit contradictory to the statements we keep hearing from the FBI and people Trump supposedly put into place to release this sort of stuff. But let's talk about crime, shall we? Should we start with the high level manipulation, the subversion, the stolen election, and the corruption at the highest rungs of our government? Or should we start with the street level crime? Because we're getting it from both sides, folks. We are subject to a pincer move of crime, with people at the very top of our society being abject criminals and the people at the bottom being just generally criminal. Let's go to clip number. We've got a couple videos from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. I think we'll do clip three first. Let's go to clip three. This is the Chicago mayor, who is very mad that Trump is going to send National Guard soldiers to patrol Chicago streets. Let's watch.
We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. We've already tried that, and we've ended up with the largest prison population in the world without solving the problems of crime and violence. The addiction on jails and incarceration in this country, we have moved past that. It is racist, it is immoral, it is unholy, and it is not the way to drive violence down. We cannot return to the same failed strategies that got us here in the first place. Under the previous presidential administration, we requested more federal resources to address gun violence in our city. We continue to make that same call. We have made significant progress on our own, but there is so much more that we can do if we had real support from the federal government.
Oh, you're about to get it, buddy. You're about to get all the support you can handle. Now, do I need to translate this for you? Okay, so prison is racist, apparently. They've tried incarcerating their way out of violence. It just doesn't work. It's not dealing with the root of the problem, which, of course, to him is guns. It's the guns, obviously. Obviously. Now, the vast majority of violence committed in Chicago is done by black youth that are not old enough to have guns. They're illegal guns. The streets of Chicago are flooded with illegal guns. They're already illegal. They already have some of the highest, you know, gun control measures anywhere in America. More is not going to help. The only thing they're going to do with gun control is make it harder for non-criminal, law-abiding citizens to arm themselves in defense against the rabid mobs of youths terrorizing average people. I think you should drop guns in Chicago neighborhoods. I think you should go Switzerland style and actually require every citizen of Chicago to have a assault rifle in their closet at all times. I think you'd see a massive drop in crime. So he calls crime racist. He calls prison racist and immoral. Says we have to get to the heart of the issue, which just means requiring gun control, and he really wants federal dollars to do it, despite the fact that the crime going out of control is a direct consequence of the defund the police program. And the more that they adopt socialist George Soros style, you know, cashless bail policies, the higher the crime rises. And then, by the way, you've got people in Cincinnati being savagely beaten by a mob and then being charged for instigating the fight when they were just set upon by a bunch of people and beaten up. And then those people said, yeah, but we're pretty sure he said a word we don't like. And so they're like, well, then he's under arrest. Then he'll be charged first and foremost. Yeah, the guy you see lying on the ground there, I'm pretty sure he has been now charged with a crime. I'm sure they'll go after the woman next. After all, Shiloh Hendricks is just the beginning. Well, let's go to clip number one here. This is Brian Johnson, mayor of Chicago, being asked about very obvious and necessary measures to take to lower the crime rate in Chicago. Let's watch.
Policing alone, you've told me everything else you want. I'm curious, and this does come down to an ideological difference between people. Do you believe that the streets of Chicago would be safer if there were more uniformed police officers on the streets of Chicago?
I believe the city of Chicago and cities across America would be safer if we actually had, you know, affordable housing. Look,
okay,
I'm
but
not saying
not,
that
that's
we
not
don't...
the question I asked. My question and I just need a yes or a no. Do you believe the streets of Chicago would be safer if you got all of those other extraordinary programs put back into place, which do have a history of being successful, if that's complemented by having 5,000 more cops on the streets of Chicago?
I don't believe that we should narrow it down to just police officers, Joe, is what I'm saying. That is an antiquated approach. We've invested in detectives.
Mr. Mayor, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm agreeing with you that all of these other social programs are extraordinarily important. I just need a yes or a no, and then this will be the last time I ask. If you get all of those other social programs that 800 million that New York City does, Los Angeles, other people do with great success, would an additional 5,000 cops on the streets in Chicago help complement those programs to make Chicago safer?
Look, we are working hard to make sure that our police department is fully supported. I don't believe that just simply putting out an arbitrary number around police officers is the answer. What I'm saying is policing.
This clip goes on for another 2 minutes. He never answers the question. He never actually gets to the point. He never answers the question because the answer is obvious, but he doesn't want to say it. That's all that we're seeing here. Of course, the answer is obviously yes, but there's something, you know, he is... Well, he exists in a world of lies. His career, his existence, his very identity is dependent on him refusing to acknowledge basic truths and reality. A child knows the answer to this. Everybody knows the answer to this. Is putting 5,000 uniformed police officers on the street going to decrease crime? Yes. The answer is obviously yes. So now he's confronted with this problem in his head where he's going, okay, obviously the answer is yes, but I don't want the answer to be yes. So where do I go from here? I don't want to acknowledge that police on the street would lower crime because I don't actually want crime to be lower. I don't want the police on our street. So I can't acknowledge reality and I have to squirm like an eel, just desperately trying to distract from the obvious, just overwhelming obvious answer. Yeah, five times he's asked this same question and five times he's like, well, I think affordable housing is a thing. Great, buddy. Great point. I hadn't thought of that. Would the police help though? But would putting 5,000 police on the street of Chicago lower the crime? It absolutely would. So why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing something that would obviously lower crime? And people in Chicago vote for this over and over. Remember the last mayor they had? Remember her? Lori Lightfoot? Or she looked like a goblin? Remember what she looked like? I mean, they vote for these people. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do?
While the concept of tinfoil hats as a defense against mind control may sound far-fetched,
there's a nugget of truth in their effectiveness for blocking certain electromagnetic signals. Tinfoil hats, when properly constructed, can act as a rudimentary electromagnetic shield. They work on the principle that metal can reflect or absorb electromagnetic radiation, including radio waves and microwaves. Some conspiracy theories suggest that these types of signals are used for mind control or surveillance. Mind control is profoundly concerning because it infringes upon an individual's autonomy and freedom of thought. It involves manipulative tactics or technologies that can coerce or influence a person's beliefs, decisions, and actions against their will. This intrusion into one's cognitive and emotional processes undermines their ability to make independent choices and shapes their behavior in ways that may run counter to their values and interests.
And of course, you know where tinfoil hats come from. In the 50s and 60s, the Russians would blast our embassies with different types of radiation and microwaves. They started lining them, actually, with tin at first. It was actual tin, not aluminum. Old days, tin foil was tin, the metal tin, not oil. And they would also line it with lead. So these wives' tale things, or these things we make jokes out of, we're not actually selling this to you to protect you from 5G. It really won't do that. I would imagine the studies, some of it bounces off, but not much because it shoots through everything. It's why it's so dangerous. And we've shown you the footage of plants won't even grow in 5G, plus just the regular Wi-Fi in your house. They've done university studies. But it's a lot of fun. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. You can make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hats with this bad boy. And it is a lot of fun. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute style. Look how easy it was to make that. And now CNN cannot mind control me. And, you know, you can make it cooler. You can add all sorts of stuff to it. Here, I can make a Viking helmet. That looks pretty cool. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. There you go. Look how fast that was. Now you're ready for the Halloween party coming up. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Well, now we're ready. And it is a lot of fun, and it supports the broadcast. And in 1995, it's a good deal. Hell, this much tinfoil costs you like $15 at the store. So this is an amazing deal, thealexjonesstore.com. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, I'm a tinfoil hat wearing, meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high-quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Here. But I do want to remind you, in fact, today is the last day to get a free $10 with any order at the Alex Jones store. No minimum spend required, just a free $10 on us. And it's the final week to win both the 2025 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon and the C8 Corvette Stingray. Both of these cars will be given away at the end of this week. $20,000 in cash as well. Every dollar spent at thealexjonesstore.com gets you 50 times entries to win these vehicles valued at over $150,000 combined. Somebody's got to win this truck. Somebody's got to win the Corvette, and it's going to be one of you. Somebody listening to my voice right now who goes to thealexjonesstore.com is going to get that lucky ticket, and you get 50 entries for every dollar you spend at thealexjonesstore.com, including the $10 that we're giving you for free today, and that sale ends today, as do the massive discounts on things like Bovine Colostrum Plus at 50% off when you subscribe, 40% off a three-pack of methylene blue tincture. You get the Power Drive bundle. You get 50% off. That's Power Plant and Methyl Drive, both of these formulated by Rex Jones to be powerful on their own and to be super powered in combination. And it's discounted 50% off when you buy both. Shilajit gummies and Ultimate Life Force are 50% off when you subscribe to those. So do it now. Hurry up. Go today. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. I know we sold out of knives yesterday.
No, we didn't. We still have knives.
Oh, we didn't. Okay.
We still have the tip of the spear, and we still have the battle dagger. Now, the Founding Fathers Midnight Rider, tactical dagger, the one with the Founding Fathers on it, that one is sold out.
Darn it. That's my favorite.
It is a cool one because it is a SOG knife. Now, yeah. what I can tell you, it is still an awesome deal to get $10 off your next knife. And incidentally, win a car. Think about it. Close your eyes, unless you're driving, in which case, close one eye. Okay. Imagine you pull up to a stoplight next to you, brand new whip, just, you know, dripping. You look over, it's Carmelo Anthony. You say, oh, my God, I'm in a new Corvette C8. I'll race you for pinks. Boom. You race
you get
him.
His car as well. He tries
you
to stab
get his
you.
Car.
You pull out your trench knife. Now you're fighting him.
He pulls a knife on you.
You pull a bigger knife on him. Exactly. Exactly. Imagine your life.
And then you flee the scene.
Imagine your life in InfoWars. You're driving down the road in your brand new Jeep Gladiator, threatening people with your tip of the spear knife with $10,000 cash spilling out of your pocket. You can hardly keep track of all the hundreds. They're just flying everywhere. And you're just having the time of your life. Why? Because you went to thealexjonesstore.com and you made a purchase. So we still have a lot of knives in stock. And if you want to buy one, just make sure to go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Let them know who sent you. All right. We got a lot more to cover here. I got a challenge for everybody. It's kind of a Where's Waldo style game we're going to play here. It's called Show Me the Crime. Maybe the name of the game could be, I'm sorry, I thought this was America. This story makes no sense to me. I'm a little bit confused. Exclusive from Mass Daily News, shocking photos reveal Boston firefighters' alleged, quote, gun cave with what appears to be a 200-foot firing range beneath his home. What? Shocking photos reveal? How about awesome photos reveal super cool private gun range at badass Chad's house? That's how I see it. I'm confused by this. I'll read the whole story. You tell me where the crime is. Although, I guess there was one crime. I guess he kept some body armor he wasn't supposed to. But you tell me why they're making such a big deal out of this. Mass Daily News has obtained explosive leaked photos that blow open the scandal surrounding Boston Fire Lieutenant Joshua Thompson. The images show what appear to be a secret basement gun cave beneath his Milton home, including a firing lane with concrete walls and mounted targets, as well as an arsenal. Investigators seized rifles, handguns, boxes of ammunition, and tactical gear spread across evidence tables. What? Yeah, no, that looks cool. I'm sorry, what is the issue here? What is the issue here? The man built a gun range out of concrete.
I think when we design our next studio,
yeah,
we're going to take notes.
We're going to hire this guy. Where would you rather have him shoot his gun?
Give him a podcast.
Give the man a militia. He knows what he's doing. I mean, look at the construction of this thing. It's very well done.
Hey, is that a dartboard off to the side?
Oh, my God. Arrest him immediately. I mean, what are we looking at? I mean, we're looking at 200 feet of concrete tubing, high enough to walk in. I mean, this was a feat of engineering this man carried out. What is the issue? What's the problem? I don't see the problem. I see a cool-ass tunnel. I want under my house.
For that?
Oh, was it not permitted?
Did he get a permit?
Does he need one? I'm sorry.
Imagine going down into your basement and you're like, man, I just hear this like clanking noise.
It's like your neighbor
10 feet below you.
Yeah, I'd be pissed that he didn't invite me. Yeah, that would really piss me off that he was doing that without inviting me to help out. Now, here's the evidence on the table, and take a look at this. This, I guess, fills the Boston, Massachusetts police with fear. It's ammo. I mean, genuinely looks like the closets of some of my friends' houses. What is the issue here? Again, where is the crime? I'm yet to find it. So far, I've been told that this has exploded some sort of scandal. Court filings show Thompson faces more than 40 charges, including illegal possession of assault rifles and handguns. I'm sorry, I thought this was America. Possession of methamphetamine pills. Okay, that one might not be great. Although, do they just mean Adderall?
How else are you going to get that thing dug?
Do you mean Adderall? Yeah, I mean, look at this thing. You think he did this without a little bit of chemical help? The man's a wizard. He's operating on a higher level. He needs Adderall to get things done. I think that's what they mean, but when you call them methamphetamine pills, that makes them sound bad.
He looks remarkably stable, okay?
He looks like, I mean, everything I know about this guy, he is significantly better. Are you, is that his house he has? Why does he have such a nice house? That's my only question, is where do you get the money for this stuff? That is the only suspicious thing about this. How does a fire lieutenant have enough money to build this type of thing? A judge has ordered him held without bail, describing him as a clear danger to the public. But why? Because he has a tunnel under his house where he shoots guns? Again, where else would you rather have him shoot? A Boston Fire insider told Mass Daily News that among the seized gear was department-issued active shooter armor that had been reported missing from Thompson's fire truck earlier this year. So that's the one crime I can actually see. Is that apparently there was body armor that's supposed to be on the truck that he took home. Which isn't good. He could probably just afford body armor to buy it. I mean,
he had the right place to test it out.
Yeah, maybe he was doing some experimentation. So again, I'm very confused by this. There was never any police investigation into the missing armor, as far as anyone knows, the insider said. Meanwhile, a truly unstable and unfit fire officer was stockpiling it at home. Again, why is he unfit or unstable? I'm telling
you're in the mind of a Texan who was born with the gunpowder, you know.
Yeah, maybe
a taste for it, but just put your mind in the shoes of somebody from Boston.
So like this is it. Patty. So you're saying that like just having the guns themselves is the evidence that he's unfit and unstable. It's just that is so anathema to their worldview. That merely wanting to collect guns and building a tunnel to shoot them safely in makes you insane and unfit.
They're scared of the boomsticks.
Wait, did we just figure out who Batman is?
I mean, very Batman-like.
Dude, he's like 2 years away.
Very Batman-like individual we're dealing with here. So, again, okay, well, this doesn't sound good. The same insider added that Thompson had recently been suspended after refusing to respond to an emergency call with his company, with the fire chief later finding him in the kitchen while his crew answered an accident. So basically, there was a call, and he was supposed to go, and he was just like, you guys handle it. Okay, that doesn't seem so bad. Okay, so...
Can we start a GoFundMe to get this guy, like, a blacked-out Hummer?
Seriously, can I hire him to build me a tunnel? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you can build a tunnel like that in secret, you are not unfit. You are a very fit individual. You are very capable. You're intelligent. You're good at organizing. You're good at planning things. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start digging a tunnel like this. But I'll have to look into it. But I think I'm going to be looking into it, actually. Okay, so I'm reading this article, and I'm like, well, what is happening? So the guy had a tunnel? Yeah. You know some tunnel diggers that could do some stuff? I mean, look.
What were they doing down there?
They weren't shooting guns like a wholesome American, I'll tell you that. They weren't, you know, enjoying our Second Amendment rights in any legitimate fashion, that's for sure. Okay, so I'm reading this article, and it's like, you know, trying to portray this, I mean, it's just using these words. Massive scandal erupted. It's like, why? The dude had a tunnel under his house where he shot a gun. Again, what is the issue here? But then you get to this. Wu's fire department under fire. The revelations land as Mayor Michelle Wu faces mounting headaches in her administration, from public safety crises to corruption scandals. While there's no suggestion she had direct knowledge of Thompson's alleged underground range or arsenal, the scandal still unfolds squarely under her watch. And so then I'm asking questions. Then I'm like, okay, so what is the real scandal here? What's actually happening that this is like a distraction from? Because this is not a thing. This is not anything real. He is clearly not a danger to anybody. Again, a man who can put the effort and forethought into digging a 200-foot concrete circular tunnel under his home without it collapsing on him and killing him. If he wanted to do something dangerous, if he was actually a dangerous individual, we'd all be dead, folks. This is not the type of guy that's just going to fly off the handle all of a sudden and commit violence. But that's how they're portraying him. And so I'm like, okay, well, then what is actually going on in Boston? Because clearly this is not the scandal that everybody's making it out to be. What is this? And then you look into it, it's like, oh my, what is the hell is going on there? Mayor Wu faces backlash. Fired employee claims political cover-up. I'm giving this one a shot. Kude Nazar accused police of exaggerating the incident by booking her with assaulting a law enforcement officer. An officer wrote in the report that Kude Nazar pulled her hand out of an officer's grasp and proceeded to strike the officer's chest. The report made mention of the injury to the officer. After Kudainazar's arrest, Wu reported officers that it's never okay to harm police officers. Kudainazar, I'm going to call her K. K believes she was fired quickly to insulate the mayor's most prominent cabinet chief, Sugun Idowu, who is her boyfriend's boss. The company's squabble was about Idowu. Kudainazar said Hu Wang, who declined to comment for his article, grew angry after she told him Idowu had made sexual advances towards her. So it's like, okay, this is the real issue. So spoiler alert, it's not the white dude shooting guns in the privacy of his own home. It's these people with incomprehensible names having sex with blackmailing and attacking each other in the mayor's office. Okay, I think you have a bigger deal to concern yourself with than the based Chad making his own guns in his basement because he's just that creative and unfulfilled in his job. City of Boston fires two employees facing domestic violence charges. So the reality is that your city is run by a bunch of psycho weirdos whose names don't make any sense. Kudainazar, again, just Nazar, should I just call her Nazar? That's a little too close to another word. K believes she was fired quickly. Huang, who declined comment, grew angry after she told him Idowu made sexual advances towards her. So you've got who's Idowu again? So Idowu is the mayor's prominent cabinet chief. So you've got this corrupt idiot mayor Wu has a cabinet chief who's some sort of disgusting pervert who's perving on his underling, and then the boyfriend of the underling is getting mad and fighting him. Kudainazar said she bumped into Idowu that night at Hugh, a Back Bay bar, where he propositioned her, telling her he had rented a room at the Park Plaza Hotel and encouraging her to join him, probably on taxpayer money if I had to guess. She showed the Boston Globe text from Idowu that appeared to back up her contention. You're my partner's boss. You know this isn't appropriate. Kudainazar recalled thinking, okay, so, sorry, he's the boss of the boyfriend, so the cabinet leader is hitting on the girlfriend of his underling. Okay, all right. But the guy with the guns, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. This is the guy doing arts and crafts in his basement without permit. After driving Idowu to the Park Plaza, Kudainazar said she went to Huang's apartment and told him about his boss's overtures. It upset Huang and triggered a dispute that led to Kudainazar calling 911. According to Kudainazar in a police report, Idowu declined to answer questions from the Globe about whether he'd made advances to Kudainazar. Through a lawyer, he denied engaging in any behavior that would constitute sexual harassment. Wu also declined an interview request and did not address most of Globe's written questions about Idowu. So it just goes on and on. So you've just got this, the city of Boston just being run by just weirdo blackmailing, sexual assaulting creeps. the escalating standoff between Mayor Wu and the Trump administration. Apparently, Mayor Wu is willing to go to jail rather than allow basic law and order be established in her city, because obviously they want, you know, the cities to deal with it themselves, or else they're going to step in. They also want the city to comply with ICE orders and retention orders and deportation orders for the people that are actual threats to public safety, not the beloved fire chief who, again, you know, is a gun enthusiast in his spare time. Thompson remains suspended from duty as fire department scrambles to contain the fallout. God, the fallout is just so crazy. Boston Fire Commissioner Paul Burke, who received a $40,000 DEI-related pay increase tied to the city's cadet recruitment initiative, stands at the center of rising controversy as his department grapples with scandal and rising scrutiny. The leaked images, published here for the first time, put shocking visuals to what court pagers only hinted at. A firefighter, celebrated as a hero, now accused of stockpiling guns, drugs, and body armor in a hidden basement bunker. We will continue to follow this story as it develops. Again, what are we doing here? What is this? Why are they clearly they're making a big deal out of this to distract from the Kudinazar Udowu Wu Huang controversy breaking out there. But yeah, some white guy who likes guns, so red alert. Red alert, everybody. All hands on deck. Emergency. White man has guns in basement. Kvetch. Kvetch all you can. Man, the story is so long. And so then Kudinazar apparently got arrested. Got fired. Huang is assaulting her, would not let go of her wrist. She bit him several times in self-defense. Okay. So you've got weirdo foreigners biting each other, blackmailing each other, trying to sleep with each other, and then getting fired for exposing all of it. But pay attention to the guy with the cool tunnel in his basement. That's the real issue here. Meanwhile, human case of flesh-eating screwworm reported at Burning Man. The patient had traveled to Central America where an outbreak of myiasis, an infection by screwworm larva, had been ravaging the livestock. Yeah, Burning Man's not going so hot this year. First, it was hit by a like once-in-a-century dust storm that like collapsed it all. Now they're being infected by flesh-eating screwworm bugs. And it's like, geez, you try to have one satanic drug-fueled orgy in the desert, and it's like everything goes wrong. Why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, why do the, psychedelic-addicted tech weirdos going into the desert to have sex with strangers and burn an effigy in a, you know, pagan celebration? Why do bad things happen to them? I mean, you'd think the satanic orgy dome would be the last place that bad things would happen, but one of these mysteries, the Death Valley satanic drug orgy just keeps having bad luck. Holy. Okay, well, let's stop joking now. It's time to stop joking. Active shooter guns down 20 people at Minneapolis church. At least 20 people are feared to have been gunned down after an active shooter stormed a Catholic church in Minneapolis as the parish school was holding its start-of-year mass. The shooter stormed Annunciation Catholic Church on 54th Street around 8:30 a.m. local time. A Catholic grade school is connected to the church. Preliminary reports indicate that several people were injured in the mass shooting, although authorities have not yet said how many victims there are. Multiple children have been taken to a nearby hospital, law enforcement sources told KARE. It's unclear how many children have been hurt. Minnesota state troopers, local police, FBI agents, SWAT officers, paramedics, and a large number of ambulances currently at the scene. I've been briefed on the shooting of Annunciation Catholic Church and will continue to provide updates as we get more information, Governor Tim Walz said. The BCA and state police are on scene. I'm praying for our kids and teachers whose first week of school was marred by this horrific act of violence. They were in mass at the time of the shooting. Parents have gathered at the reunification zone near the church as they work to be connected with their loved ones. The shooter has been contained. Monitoring of horrific violence in South Minneapolis. We'll share information as soon as we get it. Preliminary reports indicate that several people were injured in the mass shooting, although authorities have not confirmed number of victims. Seven people were shot, one fatally in a separate mass shooting near a Catholic high school in Minneapolis yesterday, reported by Care 11. I didn't even hear about that one. Seven people were shot, one killed at a different Catholic high school. Police said the suspect, who escaped in a vehicle and does not appear to have been arrested since, fired 30 rounds from a high-velocity .223 rifle. Whoa. I didn't even hear it. So yesterday, a Catholic high school in South Minneapolis was shot up, seven people shot, one fatally. And then today, another Catholic high school was shot up in South Minneapolis. And the guy from the original shooting was never arrested. What number of attacks against churches is this for the last year or so? Shooter contained after incident at Minneapolis church and school. Tim Walz confirmed the shooting at Annunciation Catholic Church on the south side of Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis has said there's no active threat at this time. The shooter has been contained. ATF agents have responded to active shooter reports, and the FBI is aware of shooting reports. The DHS said it's also monitoring the shooting. We're in communication with our interagency partners, and we'll share more information as it becomes available, said Christy Nome on X. I'm praying for the victims of this heinous attack. Police were already investigating three deadly shootings in 12 hours. Before today's school shooting, there were three deadly shootings in Minneapolis in 12 hours, according to the Minneapolis Police Department. The level of gun violence across the city within the last days is deeply unsettling, the Minneapolis Police Department said in a news release. Across three separate multiple victim shootings, eight people have been injured by gunfire and three have lost their lives. The attack on the Annunciation Church will be the fourth deadly shooting in Minneapolis in less than 24 hours. In the most recent shooting, one man was killed and another injured at 2:08 a.m. in downtown Minneapolis. The church was founded in the Catholic school was founded in 1923 as a place for students to learn about Christian values and civic mindedness, according to a cached version of the school's website. Shooter is contained. Just before 10:30 Eastern time, the shooter is contained and there's no active threat to the community. FBI is aware of reports. Mayor Jacob Frey said he's monitoring the situation. Well, great. Unknown amount of victims at church school, says DNC chair. And that's all we have so far. So yet another attack on a Christian institution in this country, which at this point, it might be the most common type of attack. I'm trying to think about it. I mean, Christian schools and churches seem like routinely come under attack. And thankfully, most of the time, there's somebody there to respond to it. I mean, there was the shooting last month at a church where the security guard got in a truck and ran the guy over. Remember that? There's, of course, the transgender shooters shooting up Catholic schools. So I know that every time a Jewish person is attacked, there's an immediate influx of millions of dollars of security from the state to every Jewish organization. Can we get the same consideration as Christians, considering that Christians and Christian institutions are under attack relentlessly in this country? Can our government do something to defend us, please?
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
This is Brianna Morello reporting live at the official tinfoil hat truck of Edis. They say it protects your mind from globalist goblins, fake news, and 5G.
Hey there, Alex. Good to see you. What makes this tinfoil so special?
Listen, this isn't just tinfoil. This is Patriot armor. The globalists can't penetrate it. The goblins can't manipulate it.
Wow, extra strength goblin blocker? Incredible. You heard it here first from Alex on the official tinfoil hat truck.
Order on the AlexJonesStore.com now while supplies last.
No reception, no deception. Globalist rays can't get me now.
Hey, don't let the globalist control your mind. Get your parents' permission and order on the website now. Order now and we will throw in the Alex Stress Ball for free.
Alex on a top secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Back, folks. Just looking for more information about this shooting in Minneapolis and not finding much.
I've been waiting for a guy.
Yeah, I think says more than nothing. It says more than nothing that we have absolutely no information about the shooter despite him being in custody. Or her being in custody. Not to make light of it, sounds utterly horrific, and it's just yet another example of something that we should not have to deal with as Americans. Attacks on Christian institutions, first day of school, a bunch of kids gathering for their first mass, shot up apparently 20 victims, we don't know how many dead, and apparently the shooter is in custody, and we have no information, no race, no age, no sex, but the shooter has been contained, they say. And of course, the classic rule is the longer it takes to find out the identity of a shooter, the more likely it is that they are not white, not Christian, not conservative. The gunman is described as a man dressed in all black and carrying a rifle. Described as a man.
See, I would think it's the exact opposite, right?
You think it's the white privilege?
Yep. The white privilege, they're going to withhold the race as not to
make white people look bad.
Exactly.
Of course. That is in line with how we're told we live in a white supremacist place. So that's just horrific. But, I mean, what do we think the likelihood is that this is a transgender person? As that tends to be the most prominent demographic carrying out shootings on churches these days. Just crazy. We're going to be joined by Mark Lynch, who's a senator. We'll get his comment on this and what we can do to try to stop horrific events like this from taking place. And I don't think it's that hard. I mean, you deal with the petty crime, you can put a lot more focus on the big horrifying crimes. You put, you know, drugged out psychopaths in asylums rather than allow them on the street, and then the police, instead of having to deal with the quotidian disruption of just general chaos, can maybe go after the people that actually should be gone after. You know, I always tell the story of being in Japan and seeing a city worker on his hands and knees with a little brush, hand scrubbing a single tile that was scuffed in the subway. And it's like, that's what you can do when you don't have trash and stabbings and murder and chaos. You can focus on the small things. You can get to the stuff way down the to-do list when all the other stuff is taken care of. So I don't know what, you know, directly caused this. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for them to, you know, scrub the social media networks and, you know, find his manifesto if he has one and destroy that or hide that some way. Because God forbid, you know, we learn about the motive behind some of these attacks in an effort to stop them from happening. We're going to see another big old push for gun control. I can guarantee you that. Let's go to clip number, let's see if we have time here. I was going to go clip number 13. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is just an example of, you know, crime in this country. Let's watch.
Connection with an armed carjacking in Maryland told us that, why are you sending me back to jail? I won't even be there very long.
The judge is literally going to say we're going to put him on a three-day hold. Then once the three-day hold is up, and a runner never shows up. I done been over D.C. jail 6 times for the same warrant. They never show up. D.C. jail has to release me. They release me. It's the same thing every f***ing time. The same thing every time.
As a man who is literally pissed off the inconvenience of having to go to court just to be released again. He said he's been released 6 times from the same court. He's caught again, committing a violent carjacking. And he's like, ugh, they're just going to let me out. Just don't even arrest me. They're just going to let me out again. I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, put people like this under the jail, and you can worry about other stuff.
Step right up, folks. Please don't stall. Mad scientist Alex has got a cure for y'all. With a bloop, 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 and a fizz so fine, it'll pep your step and sharpen your mind. In a clean white lab with a patriotic grin, he's mixing up the freedom. Come and drink it on in. Sold on the site where the good times hum, at alexjonesstore.com. Yes, that's the one. Now he's got a treat that'll make you skip. Shilajit gummies for that power trip. Pop one in and you'll feel brand new. Strong like a bull and make your brain flex too. He's got a treat that'll make you skip. Shilajit gummies for the power.
Order Shilajit gummies at the website below.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. We'll be joined by Mark Lynch momentarily. He is running to unseat Holden Bloodfield himself. What's it? Holden Bloodfeast. Lindsey Graham. So if you've wanted to ever, you know, take a big old whack at the military industrial complex, I think taking out one of their most prominent and outspoken supporters would be a great place to start. We got to start talking about this today so we can primary the guy and not be waiting until the last minute to talk to some of his challengers. But I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we do here. Today is the last day to take advantage of the free $10, no purchase necessary, just free $10 to spend on alexjonesstore.com. Go there today, take advantage of that sale, lots of discounts, and you win a chance to you get a chance to win the awesome car and Jeep truck, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let him know who sent you. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome Mark Lynch to the program. He is a South Carolina businessman who's challenging Lindsey Graham for his U.S. Senate seat in 2026. As a patriot who's fed up with all the lies and deceit in Washington, D.C., he's fighting to reform the immigration system, end corruption, and restore election integrity. His website is lynchforsenate.com, and you can find him on X at Mark Lynch SC. Mr. Lynch, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Harrison. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And obviously, if there's one senator I would love to never have to hear from again, it would be Lindsey Graham. The man, as far as I can tell, has been nothing but a burden on America. You know, always there's no war he doesn't want. And we've seen the horrible negative effects from that. What's your pitch? Why choose Mark Lynch over Lindsey Graham? I mean, he's such a, you know, well-respected bipartisan leader, right? I mean, why should they kick out Lindsey Graham?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know he's not, but he's betrayed the Republican Party. He's betraying South Carolinians. He's stabbing Donald Trump in the back every chance he gets. His voting record is 57% lifetime. Constitutional voting record. He's failing us at every level. And, you know, he moves to the right during the campaign season again, but the other 5.5 years, he's acting like a traitor to the country, and he's voting like the Democrats do. And we're all tired of it. South Carolina's ready for true conservative leadership, somebody that has integrity, honesty, courage, and a backbone that'll stand up to the evil that we're fighting in this country.
Well, even just calling it evil means that you have a, you know, a better stance on it than he does. He's always willing to compromise. And I mean, how long has he been a senator? It feels like he's been there forever. He's been a senator for a very long time. I think we've seen the outcome of the things that he supports, which again is almost entirely about war and, you know, projecting American power overseas, which would be great if it ever benefited us at all. But instead he's gallivanting around Ukraine with, you know, the ghost of John McCain just desperately trying to sell more weapons. What has kept this guy in office so long? I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, who keeps voting for him? Why do people keep voting for Lindsey Graham? Is there an institutional barrier to getting this guy out of office? How has he stayed in office so long when South Carolina is filled with such great patriots? Why do they keep voting for Lindsey Graham?
Yeah. Well, Harrison, one of the problems is we have open primaries in our state. So on our primary election day, the Democrats are pouring in and determining the outcome of our Republican elections. We've been fighting that, trying to get a bill passed, and our state house is known as Crooked Columbia. And there's a lot of rhinos in the state house that continue this, and they can't get in without open primaries. This year, from my understanding, the Democrat primary is on the same day, so that's going to help that situation. The other reason is we haven't really had a viable candidate with enough funding that it takes to run a campaign like this. And, you know, my wife and I have been blessed. We've been debt-free individually and corporately since 1999. And so we prayed about it, and we put $5 million of our own money out of our retirement account into this campaign to seed it, to get it started. So we're committed, and he's leaving this time. He's done. You know, even with Trump's endorsement, South Carolinians have said that won't save Lindsey Graham this time.
Well, good. And I mean, that shows a lot of commitment. $5 million of your own money putting into a campaign. That alone, I think, puts you over and above these people who are clearly beholden to special interest. What would you do differently than Lindsey Graham, you know, other than just in general being more conservative? What's your biggest gripe with him? What do you think is the best argument against Lindsey Graham? The arguments for him I can see as being, well, he's been there for a while. I mean, people get used to somebody who's an incumbent, and they just sort of go, well, you know, why try a new thing when we've got the thing that, you know, hasn't been great but has been horrible? You know, what's the biggest gripe to you about Lindsey Graham? To me, it's the warmongering. What's the biggest difference between yourself and Lindsey Graham?
Well, true conservative values mean that all of my decisions will come from biblical, godly, moral decisions that our framers designed our Constitution after. And I'll serve the voter. My only authority in office would be to protect God-given, unalienable rights for the citizens. You know, Lindsey's been involved with USAID. He's on their board. He's handling millions of dollars with corruption. He keeps the wars going, like you were talking about. He was over there talking to Zelensky like he was the Secretary of State, and Trump finally called him out for it. He said, you need to watch your mouth over there, because Trump's trying to negotiate a peace deal with Putin and Zelensky, and, you know, Lindsey's over there promoting more war. We noticed on his accounting ledger of his last campaign in 2020, Lockheed Martin and Boeing were his biggest contributors, giving him millions of dollars into his campaign account. So, you know, that's not America first. There's no benefit for us spending all that money over there and increasing inflation in our national debt, trillions and trillions of dollars, and it just keeps going. And people are tired of it. We're not getting what we're paying for. And, He's got to be removed this time. The other thing is he says he's pro-life. He got endorsed in our area by three pro-life organizations, but on his federal U.S. Senate website, he's for murdering children in the womb up to 15 weeks. and voted our taxpayers' money into Obamacare and Medicaid to fund abortions up to the moment before delivery in 9 states. And that's just wickedness. You know, we've murdered 63 million of our own in this country. And God's a just God, and he's spanking us for it. We can't continue to do that. That's a big priority of mine. And we just had a meeting in our community a couple of weeks ago. Lindsey Graham came in to talk about it with our sheriffs and deputies about 287G. And I'm not sure if a lot of the listeners out there, viewers, are aware of this, but 287G is a program that was instituted back in 1996, 29 years ago, to deputize our deputies and sheriffs and police and SLED agents in our communities and train them with ICE and to be able to weed out illegal aliens, arrest them, detain them, and deport them. And now we're just now talking about that 29 years later, and he's been in the whole time. So he's had access to the knowledge of these programs to work along with federal ICE agents to help get rid of illegal aliens, and they're just now bringing that up. That's the big miss with the invasion we've had with terrorists coming into this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, him, you know, gallivanting around the world, you know, doing everything he can to undermine Trump's peace initiatives, you know, it would be bad enough, I think, on its own, just because I'm against the proliferation of war and the way that we get stuck in these quagmires. But I wouldn't care as much if everything was going great here. It seems like there's so much focus overseas. There's so much attention being paid to filling the coffers of the Lockheed Martins and the Raytheons. Well, meanwhile, we look around and our country is collapsing around us. And just today, we were reporting on the story just breaking, 20 people shot at a Catholic church in Minneapolis. Apparently 7 people were shot at a Catholic church in Minneapolis yesterday. Could possibly be the same shooter. We know that the Democrats are going to focus entirely on gun control and they're going to want to, you know, try to limit our Second Amendment as a consequence of this. But to me, I mean, this is just a symptom of a wider societal collapse that we're all witnessing and experiencing, you know, in our personal life. We, hopefully, you know, most people haven't experienced something as tragic as that, but we all feel the downstream effects of just the chaos that is embroiling this country. Have you had a chance to look into what happened in Minneapolis and just what's your response to sort of this general state of chaos in this country? And, you know, how would you defend the Second Amendment when we know that that's the only thing the Democrats really care about when it comes to crime?
Yes. Well, I hate to hear that churches don't have a safety team with armed people on their campuses nowadays. If you don't have that, that's very irresponsible. And for any parent to send their children to schools that are unarmed, that don't have a security team on the campus, that's just a dumb idea. There's bad people out there, and that's why we have locks on our doors and we have guns. Evil people are going to always get guns, and we need the right to defend ourselves. And that Second Amendment, our forefathers knew, and they use strong legal wording in it. It shall not be infringed. And I'm sorry to hear about that. That's just horrible. And it happened in Minneapolis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's an area that was burning down in 2020. I know that Obama dropped 70,000 illegal Somalian aliens into that state and helped get Ilhan Omar and them elected. And, you know, we have Muslims in Congress, and that's a bad area. And I'm sure they'll attack our Second Amendment rights and say we need to disarm people and get rid of assault weapons and all that stuff. But our forefathers knew we're to have the same opportunity to protect ourselves, especially against an evil government. Right. I think that's the last line of defense, and that's why America's lasted this long so far, and we're still maintaining an upper hand because our citizens are armed, and we've got to keep that in force.
And I think that's becoming very
guns
clear.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, we've had terrorists drive soccer mom vans into crowds of people. So we're going to outlaw soccer mom vans, you know?
Right.
People will do whatever they can do.
I think still the deadliest terror attack in Europe was a truck attack in Nice. You know, so no guns involved in that. Killed 80-something people just by driving a truck through.
We didn't. Right. Yeah. we didn't get rid of jets after 9/11. We still travel with them, don't we?
Yeah. And
but we've got to get these people out of our country.
Yeah, as you point out, I mean, Minneapolis is sort of the ground zero for so many of these issues. The Somalian, the illegal immigration, it was the ground zero of Black Lives Matter. You had the mayor of Minneapolis, you know, on his hands and knees crying at the golden casket of George Floyd. And so, you know, we don't have any information about the shooter yet. We don't really have any information about, you know, the motive behind the shooting, but he obviously targeted church. And I think, you know, in general, it's an outbreak. It's a symptom of the general chaos that's been created through all of these various social movements or, you know, demographic changes. There's just a sense of chaos in the country right now when it comes to law and order and crime. Obviously, that's a big point of contention with Trump, you know, taking over the D.C. police and now wanting to send federal agents to Chicago. I mean, what do you think the federal government's role in law and order should be? Because, you know, clearly, what we're doing now is not working. Things are getting worse. You know, violence is increasing. But I, for one, don't want federal, you know, I don't want the army patrolling American streets. What is the Fed's role in law and order when it comes to just basic crime on the streets of America?
Well, I think they could lead by example and get these Epstein files out and start picking people up and the people that have committed treason in our country within our government and bring retribution back for what happened to the J6ers, and then encourage the state level for the sheriff's departments to be funded and bring out a sense of caring and defending and serving and protecting our people and our communities again, and supporting our police at the local level in our communities and at the state level, and give the sheriffs and police and SLED agents what they need to do their job at the state level. And President Trump's doing that. We're bringing back the rule of law and enforcing our laws. And, you know, we have to stop this. And, again, the states have to keep their sovereignty and get involved and lead these programs. And there's a lot of good governors around and U.S. senators that are helping support this at the local level, and I'll do that when I get in. It's about enforcing our laws that we have in South Carolina and not allowing federal control. We don't want that. We want our sovereignty. You know, in the past several years, with all the invasion coming across the borders and unmarked buses dropping off terrorists and illegal aliens every week, we missed that. We didn't participate in 287G. We weren't dealing with it at the local level. And everybody was saying, well, it's a federal issue. You know, our sheriffs have to do their job. They're the most powerful person, really, in our communities. And we need to elect good people and back them and give them what they need to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think supporting the sheriffs, something needs to happen a lot more. You've brought up a few things. You've brought up other stuff in articles I've seen that just sort of go on to this Rolodex of problems that have not yet been dealt with. Everything from the COVID lockdowns, January 6th, Jeffrey Epstein, the election fraud that's going on. I know you've had some barbed statements to say about Lindsey Graham supporting the Russia hoax in the attempt to steal the 2016 election. Why does it seem like Trump has no backup? He's got no help doing what he's doing. I get frustrated at Trump, but I also always have to acknowledge there's 50 senators and hundreds of congressmen that are not pulling their weight, that are not there to, you know, support Trump and help get through his bills or, you know, help in any way deal with the corruption that has really hollowed us out from the inside. Why do you think the Senate is not helping Trump in these things? It seems like they'll only come to his side when he's doing what they want, starting another war or promising another Ukraine package. Where are the senators backing up Trump, and how will you help Trump achieve justice for some of the crimes that we've seen embroil our federal government over the last couple of years?
Yeah. You know, Harrison, I'm America first. I'm not Mark Lynch first. I'm not getting into this political adventure as a U.S. senator to make money and see what I can get for me and weave in between all the the lines and try to find what's best for me and my family. I'm here to help our state of South Carolina and America and honor the oath that I will swear into to defend against foreign or domestic, and I'll serve the president on when he's doing the right thing, you know, through godly principles that are filtered through the Bible first and the Constitution second to protect our God-given rights. And I think Trump would be at ease to have a U.S. senator from South Carolina that'll support America First principles and honor my oath as a true Republican, a conservative Republican, that'll make wise decisions that are for the betterment of the country. You know, I would want to start a Senate subcommittee that will filter out and block all un-American activities before they ever get started or discussed as a bill possibly coming out. You know, we've got to get rid of all the illegal agencies that we've allowed to get started in this country that are outside the enumerated powers of our Congress. We've got a lot of stuff to work on, and we definitely have to finish the wall and get these aliens, illegal aliens, deported out of this country and the terrorists that have gotten in here and secure our safety for the country, because that's what we've all sworn an oath to. And we've got to honor that. And the public has to be educated. I'll help show people the voting records of our congressmen because they're failing us. You know, our Republicans are part of the uniparty today. The Democrat Party's gone. Mm-hmm. When Obama was president in Charlotte, they voted God out of their party. They voted not to bring God into it any longer. So what do you have? You get Satan with that. And it's all spiritual warfare.
Right.
We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting in the spiritual realm of the principalities of evil. And we've got to win this with godly people. And that's how this government was started. They love the Lord. That's why they came and started this great country. And God gave divine inspiration in the writing of the Constitution to protect our unalienable rights. And we got to get back to that. Our Republicans are doing the same thing Democrats are doing. They're helping destroy this country with their voting and their self-interest, and it's got to stop.
It absolutely does. And of course, you know, even great, you know, libertarians like Ron Paul will give speeches where now he's saying, look, the Constitution's great. It's not enough. Without God, it's really incomplete. It's inadequate. I mean, you need God there governing, you know, the things that can't be controlled by the state. Cause if you're not worthy of liberty, then somebody's got to come in and control you. You got to be worthy of liberty, meaning you've got to be, you know, compelled yourself to do the right thing, and that requires faith of some sort. We only have about 2 minutes left with you. Your biography is so interesting. You built a hugely successful business. You never shut down during COVID. You should be enjoying a lovely retirement right now, but you decided to throw your hat in the ring and put your money where your mouth is and self-fund your own campaign. What can people do to contribute? Where can they go to find more about you? And just your final pitch here for the people of South Carolina to replace warmongering scumbag Lindsey Graham. Mark Lynch, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Harrison. Well, number one, we win this on our knees. It's all about prayer. That's how we fight and send missiles back at evil. Number two, go to Lynch for Senate. Go to our website. And if you live in South Carolina, if you want to help our campaign, we need volunteers to sign up on our volunteer tab. And give us your contact information where our team, campaign ground teams managers, can contact you, and you can help us knock on doors and put out signs and spread the word. It's a big, big undertaking for the whole state, and we've got to get my name ID out there. The other thing everybody can do is just go to your cell phone, you know, and contact everybody you know and talk about me. And then the last thing is pray what God would have you donate. You know, we all work hard for our money. If you believe in me and you trust what I stand for and my platform, I'll hold the line. I won't compromise. I don't need to do this. I'm doing it for the love of country and love of our state of South Carolina. And donate to our campaign. It does take money, too.
Absolutely, it does. Well, I'll tell you, between you and Lindsey Graham, it's a pretty clear choice as far as I'm concerned. Stick with the evil that you know, or go with somebody who actually seems to recognize the spiritual importance of what's happening here and isn't going to bend the knee to warmongers and Lockheed Martin. Mark Lynch, lynchforsenate.com, at Mark Lynch, SC on X. Follow him. Thank you so much for being with us today, sir, and I look forward to covering your campaign as it heats up.
While the concept of tinfoil hats as a defense against mind control may sound far-fetched, there's a nugget of truth in their effectiveness for blocking certain electromagnetic signals. Tinfoil hats, when properly constructed, can act as a rudimentary electromagnetic shield. They work on the principle that metal can reflect or absorb electromagnetic radiation, including radio waves and microwaves. Some conspiracy theories suggest that these types of signals are used for mind control or surveillance. Mind control is profoundly concerning because it infringes upon an individual's autonomy and freedom of thought. It involves manipulative tactics or technologies that can coerce or influence a person's beliefs, decisions, and actions against their will. This intrusion into one's cognitive and emotional processes undermines their ability to make independent choices and shapes their behavior in ways that may run counter to their values and interests.
And of course, you know where tinfoil hats come from? In the 50s and 60s, the Russians would blast our embassies with different types of radiation and microwaves. They started lining them, actually, with tin at first. It was actually tin, not aluminum. Old days, tinfoil was tin, the metal tin, not foil. And then they would also line it with lead. So these wives' tale things, or these things we make jokes out of, we're not actually selling this to you to protect you from 5G. It really won't do that. I would imagine the studies, some of it bounces off, but not much, because it shoots through everything. It's why it's so dangerous. And we've shown you the footage of plants won't even grow in 5G, plus just the regular Wi-Fi in your house. They've done university studies. But it's a lot of fun. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. You can make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hats with this bad boy. And it is a lot of fun. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute style. Look how easy it was to make that. And now CNN cannot mind control me. And, you know, you can make it cooler. You can add all sorts of stuff to it. Here, I can make a Viking helmet. That looks pretty cool. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. There you go. Look how fast that was. Now you're ready for the Halloween party coming up. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Well, now we're ready. And it is a lot of fun, and it supports the broadcast. And in 1995, it's a good deal. Hell, this much tinfoil costs you like $15 at the store. So this is an amazing deal, thealexjonesstore.com. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, I'm a tinfoil hat wearing neat, eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
You came down to this southern town last summer to show the folks a brand new way of life.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal.
Shown the folks around.
We're getting some new updates to the mass shooting in a Catholic church in South Minneapolis. In the latest instance of anti-Christian violence in this country. Because totally unconfronted, It always seems to be buried, the fact that these attacks keep happening at churches. Whereas that's never the case in any other situation. It's obviously a shooting at a synagogue is treated as anti-Semitic violence. A shooting at a church is anti-Christian violence. There's a reason that they're choosing these places. And it seemed like the shooter in this case chose this particular school at this particular time to maximize the damage he could do to Christian children as he began shooting during an all-school mass that they hold, the first one of the year, with all students, I believe, aged middle school through 8th grade, over 320 students in the school itself. The all-school mass was underway when the shooting began. But there's some twist to this and some developments that have just broken in the last few minutes. Apparently, the shooter is dead, reportedly from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. An army of police and paramedics arrived at around 8:30 a.m., where Richfield police reported a man dressed in black and armed with a rifle was spotted on the scene. Police confirmed there are approximately 20 victims, but did not share details of their status. Multiple sources told KARE-11's Lou Ragusi that the shooter is dead and the bomb squads are working to disarm multiple improvised explosive devices. So we're not sure where these IEDs were located, but apparently bomb squads are working to disarm multiple IEDs. A high-level source shared that the mass shooting occurred during mass at Annunciation Church and that three people are dead, including the shooter. The source told Ragusi that one victim is a young student. Children's Minnesota, a pediatric trauma hospital, said in a statement to the Associated Press that five children were admitted for care. Hennepin Healthcare, which has Minnesota's largest emergency department, also said it was caring for patients from the Annunciation shooting. Families of children at Annunciation School are urged to go to the reunification zone at 525 West 54th Street. Of course, statements from Trump and Cash Patel and others have come out saying that the FBI and the federal law enforcement is on the scene to investigate this. Bishop Kevin Kinney, who leads St. Olaf Catholic Church in downtown Minneapolis, went directly to Hennepin Healthcare Hospital when he heard about the shooting to be a presence for victims and families. It was horrific. Kinney shared about his reaction upon hearing about the shooting. I grew up in that parish, so it has meaning to me. But this violence shouldn't be happening. What happened on 8th and Hennepin this morning, Lake Street yesterday, something has got to happen to stop this. And of course, what he's talking about is the fact that there have been multiple deadly shootings in just the last 24 hours in Minneapolis, including an attack on another Catholic school yesterday in which seven people were shot and one killed. And I wonder if it wasn't the same person, since that shooter was never caught. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey posted that he's monitoring reports of horrific violence, and he's confirmed with Police Chief Brian O'Hara that the department's emergency response team has been activated. He asked residents to give officers the space they need to respond to the developing situation. Governor Tim Walz posted on social media he has been briefed about the shooting at Annunciation Catholic Church and that agents from the VCA and troopers from the State Patrol are on scene along with Minneapolis police. KARE-11 has multiple crews at the scene. Wednesday's incident is just the latest in a violent 24 hours in Minneapolis. Three people were shot and killed in three separate shootings Tuesday afternoon and into early Wednesday morning. At least eight people also suffered gunshot wounds in the incidents. So again, we'll wait to see. We still have no data on who the shooter was. There's supposed to be a press conference at 10:30, which is 7 minutes ago. They're running a little bit behind. As soon as they go live with a press conference, we will bring you that feed to find out more about this. Again, we still don't have any ID, and it's an unconfirmed report that the shooting ended with a suicide, the shooter shooting himself. Annunciation Church has a Catholic school attached, preschool through 8th grade, with over 320 students. Initial reports suggest the all-school mass was underway when the shooting began. That's pretty much all we know as of now. Donald Trump says, "I've been fully briefed on the tragic shooting. The FBI quickly responded and are on the scene." The White House will continue to monitor the terrible situation. And again, the rumor is that this ended in a suicide shot by the active shooter. So we'll wait to see the live feed of the press conference there. But as our guest Mark Lynch was pointing out, Minneapolis really is ground zero for so much of the chaos that has embroiled this country. It was, of course, the scene of some of the biggest Black Lives Matter riots. You had the mayor, Jacob Frey, on his knees crying at the casket of George Floyd and surrendering his city to the mobs of violent rioters. Of course, defund the police happened there and led to an immediate and astonishing rise in violent crime, as was easily predictable by anybody with basic logic. The ability to add 1 plus 1. Yeah, when you get rid of police, the criminals run wild. Also, when you import 1 million Somalis to drop them there. There's a clip going around today of Nick Fuentes talking about Somalia, and that's just, or, you know, Minnesota. And that's just what's running around my head. He's just going, you look at videos of America back in the day, it was paradise. Who decided it was a good idea to drop tens of thousands of people from an utterly failed, war-torn, chaotic state of pirates? What are we doing? Why are we dropping them here? What is the benefit to us, to the people that lived and built the society? I don't see it. Now, if you're talking about, you know, some rich Arabs coming over and dropping tons of money to buy stuff here and, you know, build things, that's one thing. We're talking about a entirely government-subsidized existence in this case. There's no benefit. There's no, like, you know, positive when it comes to bringing in millions of immigrants. Instead, you just put massive strain on public services and, you know, create a more fractured and chaotic and violent population as a consequence. Again, I don't want to make light of it, but it's almost like you all want to start betting who the shooter was. I mean, it's been 2 hours and we still don't have a description other than man in black with rifle. Gotta wonder why that is. And of course, the reason that they, you know, withhold the identification for so long is because as we speak, I don't doubt that they are frantically trying to delete social media. Because you know that if it's a neo-Nazi shooting up a synagogue, that's the first thing you hear about it. When it's a church being shot up by a transgender person, or a white community shot up by a non-white shooter, that tends to get buried. They tend to not care so much about that. So I don't know. We won't speculate, but I'm certainly not going to be surprised if this turns out to be a transgender person or some other, you know, radicalized, mentally ill leftist doing this specifically to target Christians, as he's been told that everything bad in the world is the consequence of Christians, in particular white people. We won't speculate. But if it does turn out to be true, if they do turn out to be something like that, or not, either way, you got to look at the way these types of shootings have been handled in the past, and you see why it's so dangerous, the ideological discrimination that the mainstream media and even law enforcement applies to these things. If you want to prevent shootings in the future, you need to understand the shootings of the past, right? If you want to identify the mental processes that precede a mass shooting, then you want all of the information you can get about the mindset of the person that committed it. But if the reality contradicts the ideological framework of the left, then they will hide it and ignore it and bury it, because they're not actually interested in ending mass shootings. They're simply interested in weaponizing them politically to achieve their long-sought goal of disarming the American people. So we'll bring you that police report, that press conference, just as soon as it happens. Again, we're just monitoring the situation here and I'll bring you any information as it comes. Absolutely tragic and horrific, and it should not be happening. And it ain't because of the guns, folks. We've had guns forever. These types of shootings never happened before. There's something else going on. There's a lot of other news that we still need to get to in videos I'd like to show you. Hard to transition from such a tragic story to some of this other stuff, but it is important. DNI Tulsi Gabbard uncovers burn bags of documents tied to 2020 election corruption hidden from the American public. President Donald Trump announced that the current director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, uncovered bags of hidden documents related to the 2020 election. Trump, speaking in front of his administration as they continue a historic federal crime crackdown in D.C. and push for peace negotiations in the Russia-Ukraine war, directly addressed the bombshell findings. According to a statement by President Trump, these files contain massive evidence of wrongdoing and will soon be made public. Let's go to clip number two here. This is the all-hands meeting in the White House yesterday where Donald Trump and Tulsi Gabbard discussed these bags they discovered. Let's watch.
Transparency, telling the truth, is what will drive true accountability for the American people who deserve nothing less. And lastly, Mr. President, all of us are charged with being good stewards of taxpayer dollars. I've gone through a reorganization for ODNI that we've announced in the last week. We've cut nearly half of redundant, unnecessary functions within ODNI, saving taxpayers over $700 million a year. We will continue focusing on our core mission in keeping the American people safe and appreciate your leadership and your focus on this most critical task.
And you've also found many bags of information. I think they call them burn bags. They're supposed to be burned and they didn't get burned, having to do with how corrupt the 2020 election was, and when will that all come out?
Mr. President, I will be the first to brief you once we have that information collected. But you're right, it's we are finding documents literally tucked away in the back of safes and random offices in these bags and in other areas, which again speaks to the intent of those who are trying to hide the truth from the American people and trying to cover up the politicization that was led by people like John Brennan and James Clapper and others that have caused really immeasurable harm to the American people and to our country.
Great job. Thank you. We look forward to hearing it. The public looks forward. Thank you very much. Administrator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, everyone knows.
Pretty crazy. Discovering files about the 2020 election corruption in addition to the 2016 election corruption and the Russia hoax. We got a lot of justice to gain. Now, Trump is sort of going on the war path against mail-in balloting, which I think is the right thing to do. And it's just as absurd today as it was when they first suggested mail-in ballots as a alternative to the normal voting process. And do y'all remember back in 2020? I mean, it was like right up until like September. Nobody thought do y'all remember? I very distinctly remember like in the summer, probably July or August of 2020, and talking to people who were going, there's no way the lockdown's going to go till the election. We don't need mail-in ballots. So we're not going to be locked down till then. Because they're still trapped in the sort of goldfish-brained memory lapse of like, this was supposed to be 2 weeks. Now it's been 2 months. Now it's been 4 months. Yeah, they're going to keep it going. They're going to keep it going because the point of the lockdowns were mail-in ballots. They couldn't have the mail-in ballots without the lockdowns. The lockdowns were always going to extend to Election Day because they were cheating to steal the election by rigging mail-in ballots. And then you've got articles like this today from Bloomberg, why Trump has a problem with mail-in voting. Because it's completely and utterly insecure. Because dozens of Democrat operatives have been caught stuffing mailboxes full of ballots that don't belong to them. Because the process by which mail-in ballots take place and are filled out and sent in is so outrageously insecure that you can never confirm whether or not a vote tally is accurate. It is impossible to determine whether or not a vote is legitimate when you have absolutely no chain of custody for where the vote came from, who actually sent it in, who actually filled it out. And then again, I bring it up every time because it really is the only piece of evidence that you need to see. And, you know, maybe I'll bring it in just so we can play it here. Detroit leaks. The Detroit leaks in 2020, the people who were counting votes in Detroit, and it's standard training, you know, across the board for these companies running elections, they instructed their vote counters to count mail-in votes, even if the person arrived in person on the day, said, I never sent in a mail-in ballot, I'm here to vote today, and I've never voted before, they still counted the mail-in ballot they received with that person's name on it. And that was systemic. That's what they trained people to do. And then, of course, they would give the person a fake ballot and say, oh, okay, you can vote today. And the person would go to the machine and go through the process of voting, hand the ballot in, and then they'd throw that ballot in the trash and count the one that was sent in that the person themselves said, that wasn't my ballot, I never sent one in. Why do we have a problem with mail-in ballot? Because we care about the election, because we actually want our vote to count and not to allow some random Democrat to fill out a ballot on our behalf and mail it in anonymously, because that's what happens. People have been sent to jail for it. And you can't actually say that's not what's happening because there's no controls. There's no verification of who's sending in the ballots. It's just a piece of mail that somebody picked up, somebody filled out, and somebody sent in. But they didn't have to prove who they were. And then when they go in person and say, that wasn't me, it doesn't matter. The fake ballot gets counted anyway. Why would you not have a problem with mail-in ballots? What delusion are you operating under? What possibly gave you any proof that mail-in ballots were secure at all or should ever have been implemented? It was a total scam from the beginning. Look at the vote totals of just the number of votes from 2016 to 2020 to 2024. There is like a $5 to $8 million vote surplus in 2020. It didn't exist in 2016 and didn't exist in 2024. Were people just that inspired to go out and vote, or was the whole thing rigged? The whole thing was rigged. Okay. The whole time, the whole thing was rigged. President Trump has escalated his years-long crusade against voting by mail, threatening action to restrict its use in federal elections nationwide. He wrote on Truth Social Post that elections can never be honest with mail-in ballots and voting. He promised an executive order to bring honesty to the 2026 midterm elections. And then Bloomberg asserts there's no evidence that mail-in ballots are used to commit voter fraud on a large scale in the U.S. See, they have to include this because it's an opinion on a large scale. So I could show you that people have been arrested in, you know, like every jurisdiction in America, and they could still say that's not large scale enough for me to consider a large scale. So that's still small scale. I mean, sure, dozens of Democrat operatives have been elected for stuffing ballots with mail-in ballots, something they can only do because of the mail-in ballot process. But, you know, is that really large scale? It doesn't have to be large scale. In fact, I've got a video from yesterday that I meant to play that I'll bring in here because it sort of explains exactly how the entire thing went down. Not like I need it to explain it to you because I've explained it a million times on my own because it's been obvious how they were going to do it since the beginning, which is that the entire presidential election really comes down to a very few number of very important districts in very important states. You don't have to rig 50 states if you only need to rig Pennsylvania. And if you only need to rig Philadelphia to rig Pennsylvania, then you're talking about rigging one tiny part of one tiny aspect of 1/50th of the election, and yet you sway the outcome of the election. So that's how they did it. And they identified to you exactly the states where they were going to do it, and it just so happened to be that in these particular states that the Democrats needed to win just so happened to be the places where the voting shut down at midnight only to reverse outcome by the time everybody woke up in the morning. It was stolen. It was stolen by hijacking these very certain electoral locations. It's really not complicated. It's not hard. But they covered up by claiming, well, for it to be something to care about, it has to be widespread. It has to happen everywhere in every district in every state, or else we don't care about it. That's not the way elections are stolen. They're stolen by hijacking the, you know, bottleneck areas where you can get the most bang for your buck. I was hoping I'd just be able to find this video quickly because we're running out of time. But we may have to wait for tomorrow, or you may have to follow me on X where I can retweet it for you. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. But it's basically just a video from the election night where the people, like, without even realizing it, are just laying out exactly how elections are stolen. Well, Tom, I waited too late to play that. I'll have to play it for you tomorrow. Roughly 30% of votes cast in the 2024 election were mail-in ballots, according to data from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. Some states, such as California, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, will allow all elections to be conducted entirely by mail. Why does Trump oppose it? Trump argues that mail-in voting is prone to fraud and delays, which of course it is. He has repeated this claim, rejected by courts, state officials, and his own Justice Department. Oh my God, they're just lying. They're just lying so blatantly. It's really offensive. Of course it's prone to fraud and delays. In fact, if it's not prone to delays, then why do you have this story from today? Pennsylvania must stop throwing out mail ballots over date errors, court rules. This is one of those headlines I had to read like four times. Because originally it was reported, it was like, court decides against Philadelphia barring fraudulent ballots. And it's like, wait, what? They're stopping them from... First you read it and you're like, okay, they're not going to allow fraudulent ballots. They're not going to allow ballots with dating errors on them. But no, they're actually saying they have to count the ballots even if the date is incorrect and aspects of the ballot are fraudulent. It's just crazy. I don't understand this. It was a unanimous decision by the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. They ordered Pennsylvania to stop throwing out ballots and upheld the decision earlier this year by a federal judge in Pennsylvania. A federal appeals court on Tuesday ruled it is unconstitutional for the presidential battleground state of Pennsylvania to throw out mail-in ballots simply because the voter didn't write an accurate date on the return envelope. But that's not what was happening. They were actually counting votes that arrived after Election Day. Under Pennsylvania law, voters are required to write the date on the return envelope for their mail ballot. However, thousands of voters confused by the request to write the date might skip it or write another date, such as their birth date. Well, then they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Tell you what, can this just be a de facto, like, test? A de facto IQ test to determine whether you're allowed to vote? If the instructions clearly state, write today's date on the envelope and they write their birthday, then throw the vote out. They don't deserve to vote. That's my take. Yeah, the press conference is incoming, but we only have a minute, so you're going to have to stay tuned to the Alex Jones Show. I'm sure they'll go to it there. But the battle over voting legitimacy continues, and unfortunately, the federal government can't do very much to fix the voting system that the secretaries of state decided to deliberately break in 2020 by unconstitutionally changing the voting system despite there being processes that they're supposed to follow. They didn't follow them. They just, by fiat, told everybody, we're doing it this way now, totally insecure, no chain of custody, no way to verify whether the votes are valid or who they came from, but we're just doing that because it's an emergency. Don't question us. If you question us, you want grandma to die because you love COVID. That was the argument they made, and people fell for it, and it's completely outrageous. Donald Trump should have been president in 2020, but because of their own ceaseless evil, they instead got more vengeful Trump in 2024, and we await the outcome to all of these investigations and all of these discoveries and all of these RICO cases that they keep talking about. One day, you truly believe enough, an arrest will come. One, at least. I'm sure one will come eventually, right? One, at least one?
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandthestore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? A lot of you got that email. And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support. Natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle Recovery Aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and Energy Balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens. No caffeine crashes. Toxin Defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption. Improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.